It's The Huddle. Powered in part by Buffalo Wild Wings, Burlington and Plattsburgh. Wings, beer, sports. And by Able Paint, Glass and Flooring. If you need it, they've got it. They're Able. AbleVT.com. And by Reuben James, Main Street, Burlington. Online at RJSBurlington.com. The Huddle is now on 101.3 The Game, 101.3TheGame.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
I want that car right next to us.
Oh, this the car vet. Look right at there. That. Give me that, baby.
I want that. Can I have that?
That's what I'm talking about. You don't even have enough money for gas for that car, Rich. Come
this
on,
is,
man.
Rich, if you picked me up, if you Ubered in this car in the summer and you picked me up in that, I would give, and I don't tip Uber drivers, right. I would give you a $20 tip
for
picking me up in that vehicle.
Oh, give me some of that. Look at that. That's called midlife crisis car. I love it. I've got to have one.
That looks like a race car.
It does. Like something you'd see out at the racetrack.
Looks like you should see that thing at Daytona going 10 laps around.
I would drive down with the roof down. I don't care if it was negative 14 degrees. I don't care.
Can you imagine?
I'd be driving around Burlington.
I've been told it's a chick magnet by one of the salespeople, too.
Is that, a Corvette? I would just love that
thing.
Can
you even fit in that car?
Of course I can. Look at that.
That's the kind of car that you need.
It's a two-seater. That's exactly the kind I need for Burlington. I'm not kidding around.
Cedar, it didn't last very long.
I'm not kidding around. I have my eye on a couple of Jeeps out there that I like. You know, I love buying cars when we come out here. I might get myself a car. I may do that.
You haven't bought a new car since last week.
That's true. The black one out there, the Jeep I have, I like that one a lot. They better not leave the keys around. I might take off with that.
Well, we are at the Auto Saver Max Shelburne Road in South Burlington. Arnie's already schmoozing the sales staff.
Yes.
Trying to get
schmooze.
Yes, that's what you're trying to do. So what we're in the middle of right now, we've just started this here at Auto Saver Groups. It's their truck and SUV mega sale. It's only 6 days, okay? 6 days only.
Yeah.
This is day two of it. So what they're doing, they're bringing truckloads in. They got 15 Auto Saver dealerships from around New England, from New York, New Hampshire, Vermont. They've got 15 dealerships. They are bringing in vehicles from each of those. So they've got great pre-owned vehicles from all of their dealerships and all the name brands that you like and you've heard of, Chevy, Ford, GMC, Toyota, Ram Trucks, special sale. They've got a huge inventory, and appraisers are on site just to the left of us, ready to give you top dollar for your trade-in. So really, you already have great price cars that you're getting even better prices on because you're getting top dollar for your trade-in.
I have a lease. They said they'd take my lease. I was less than a year left. I was coming in, a couple was buying this red four-door pickup truck, and I'm like, man, that is a sweet ride because you like it. I go, I love it, man. I love it, man. That was beautiful.
You probably tried to buy it from him.
No, actually, he bought it. He drove out of here with it. It was a sweet ride, man. I'm telling you, I love SUVs, trucks, all that stuff, and they got a bunch here.
But see, we're not usually, well, I know I'm not, and I know you're not too, and Rich, you're not either. None of us are really truck people, but this is the kind of event that could make us truck people. Like, you're not, Arnie, you're way too delicate to be a truck.
Wow. I do like SUVs. All my cars are SUVs pretty much.
Except for the little tiny... Oh, yeah, mister, I need 84 showers a day, moisturize my fingers and all that. You're way too delicate for a truck. But this is the kind of place that can make you a truck guy.
I can. It absolutely can. So come on by. We'll be here until 6 o'clock, and they will make you an awesome deal. They really will.
You said in the sports update, they brought Olive Garden in, and I ate just about the entire restaurant.
Yeah. So.
I know they have Olive Garden here. They've got hot dogs. They've got M&Ms. They knew Rich was coming. Desserts. So come down here for dinner. And to get a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, a new vehicle to you. And we're giving away prizes, too. We got Yankees Blue Jays tickets up north of the border in Montreal, 23rd, 24th of March. We got ski passes. So we've pretty much got the biggest party in town here on Route 7.
Nice to be at ski passes now that the snow has finally arrived. I was hearing 3 to 6 inches by afternoon, and it's just now starting. They were on. If Arnie were doing the weather, he would have been dead on.
I would have known. I told you exactly about
really,
that.
Really, I mean, think about it. How many cars are coming down Shelburne Road South heading to Virginia, Jens in Middlebury, where they head every single day of their lives to head home? Well, stop in. We're right here. We're on the south side. And just take a right in and stop by and say hi. We got tons of food, as you said, and some great deals, too.
We played hoops last night. Crawdaddy already tweeted in. I watched No D Arnie play hoops on Twitter yesterday. Are those games 30-minute running time, or is it the first team to three? There was a lot of misses yesterday.
Did you shoot poorly?
The first game, I may have missed everything I shot, but second game, I was a little bit better. It's tough to get this. It was baller night, so a lot of tough people there. I put it up on Periscope. I got like 1,200 views in the first like hour or two.
Unreal.
And the comments were just absolutely hysterical.
How bored and lonely is this country when you get 1,200 people on a Wednesday night sitting at home watching you play basketball in Williston?
One guy's like, it's better than the G League and it's free. So, it was pretty funny. It's pretty
was
funny.
Was there any good players out there?
Oh, it was all good. It was all good.
It was all good except for everybody missing.
Except for me, really. I don't know. It was just like the first game. We're missing a lot of layups and stuff, a lot of bricks.
You know what you need to do to really solidify your status on baller night?
What?
You need to start wearing the tights that NBA
players
wear. And you need to get the tights.
I got the goggles already.
The tights with like the knee pad built right into them so you look like LeBron or like
Black Sox.
You wear the tights with tall black socks. All the Celtics are doing it.
Really?
No, it's true. You don't see any skin anymore in basketball players, which is fine. I don't need to see their skin. But I'm just saying, you're right. It's all tights. At least if you wore all that stuff, you'd look good going 1-for-17.
Oh, I'd look awesome.
Yeah.
I would look awesome. So that was a lot of fun. Busy show. Lots to get to, Brady, so let's get right at it.
Plenty to get to. We'll talk about what's up with the Red Sox. The Red Sox take another young star to arbitration. Well, they won, but I don't know if that's really a win or not. We'll talk about that. Also, Buster thinks that the Red Sox are getting ready for a big sell-off. How do we feel about that? But first, we are on Twitch back in the studio. Aaron is there. We're live again. Autosaver Max on Shelburne Road. So twitch.tv/1013thegame. You can interact with us there. The Astros at spring training spoke collectively today for the first time. Everybody in one spot. Here's how it went down at about 10 o'clock this morning. Owner Jim Crane spoke. Dusty Baker, the new manager, spoke. Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve, they spoke. And here's the spoiler alert. About none of it went well. And the clip that is the most egregious, that is the most asinine, that is getting the most airtime is this. Aaron, give us Jim Crane, Astros owner, number 4.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. Our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
That's a joke. Did not impact the game. If it didn't impact the game, why did you do it for a season? Why did you keep it going into 2018? And if it didn't impact the game, why are you being punished? Why are you apologizing? If it had nothing to do with your success, then why are you even apologizing? This is no contrition, no accountability. It was ridiculous. The Astros have had months to put this press conference together, and that's the standout clip from this day. This is an embarrassment.
And you know what sealed the deal for me? And I wasn't even aware of it. You showed it to me when we got here today. The fact that the Astros in that series won all 4 home games. The Yankees won all 3 of their home games.
Yeah.
So the Astros had the ability to be banging on whatever they're banging on for the home games. I mean, if I'm the Yankees, I'm absolutely livid about this. But at the same time, it was a couple of years ago, and I don't know what you do. You can't rewrite history.
You know, Brady, I saw the quotes. I heard them. I saw them on Twitter. But I didn't see the whole press conference in its entirety. How many questions was asked? I mean, they were on for what, literally less than 2 minutes or something like that?
The players
themselves. Yes, the players themselves.
The players themselves spoke for a cumulative 60 seconds and then went to the clubhouse.
Yeah, it's not going to go away. That's why you have to hand out the one-year punishment to just about everybody involved. I'm not cutting anybody slack. You know what the commissioner did? And I said I would do this also, and now I just feel dirty even suggesting it. You get a full pass if you just tell us the truth and tell us exactly what happened. There's no doubt they told the commissioner everything. They won't be punished. Other players won't be punished. And what makes it worse is that the commissioner, I don't believe, released everything. I don't even believe he released 50% of the stuff that was out there. I feel like I was totally lied to and cheated to.
Well, he seemed like he was, and the LA Times had a great article about saying Crane looked small and sounded lost. And he sounded like a guy, and he certainly looked like a guy in the cuts I saw where he's used to having his minions around him, and agreeing with him and smiling and laughing and shaking their heads yes in agreement, and he wasn't getting that. They called it the Emperor with no clothes, without the clothes. So.
This was as tone-deaf a press conference as I can remember. And, you know, I don't know I don't even know what the answer is to how you make it better, because I didn't anticipate Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve were going to get up there and speak for 10 minutes, take all the questions, and throw teammates and old teammates under the bus to talk about Cora and Beltran. I didn't anticipate that, but I anticipated something better than this. Some contrition, some accountability, some degree of being apologetic that felt heartfelt. Alex Bregman spoke for 30 seconds and read from a prepared statement. It sounded fake. Jim Crane sounded fake. Dusty Baker, who wasn't even involved with this in 2017, he expressed the most remorse of anybody, and that's a problem for Houston.
You know what they should have done is, and I don't even know if this would have been worth it also, but at least it would have been a good gesture. You ever seen, like, when a person, like when we won the Olympics, and they have everybody come up to the podium for the hockey team, you know, instead of just one person? Right. What they should have done is the rest of the Red Sox teams and saying, look, we can't let these two guys, you know, stand up for all of us.
The Astros.
The Astros, excuse me. They should have all been behind them. They should have all stood together in unity, stood all together, made one or two people, let them make the statement, have their hands around each other, said what we did was wrong, but we're all here together to move on. At least some baloney, but at least show they're together. You don't let two of their teammates take the blame or be the front of that, though.
And there's a degree of hypocrisy with the Astros, too. Justin Verlander, who wasn't for the entirety of 2017. Remember, he got acquired from Detroit in that August waiver trade deadline, which doesn't exist anymore. He says that when he got there, he knew what was going on. Like, he saw what was happening. He should have said more. He didn't combat it, blah, blah, blah. Justin Verlander's outspoken on everything. Justin Verlander's outspoken on juice baseballs. He's talked bad about bat flipping. He's talked bad about hitters crowding the plate. Justin Verlander is one of the most outspoken players in baseball. And you know what? The old school fan probably likes a lot of things that he's gotten on his soapbox and talked about, but he wouldn't talk about this. He's been silent since this happened. He didn't combat it when it was happening. Justin Verlander, also a hypocrite in this whole thing. The Astros you had how many days and how many months to prepare for this moment? And that's the performance you put on as an organization. That's embarrassing.
And Crane he kept talking about how it was like right in the beginning, he immediately started talking. It was deflected right to himself. I didn't know anything about this. I went above and beyond by firing my GM. But I didn't have to do that. You know,
he said, I don't deserve to be held accountable.
Right. I mean, he just immediately started getting on the defensive. And then he goes out and says, these are a great group of guys who didn't get proper guidance from their leaders. They're not a great group of guys. They're a bunch of cheaters who won the World Series.
Woody in Plattsburgh, the entire Astro PR department should be fired. As a Yankee fan, though, I painfully remember us not being able to hit a beach ball in Houston that series. Those games were close, so it stings a little bit, but not a lot.
You know, as for the Astros and what this did to individual players or what this did to individual teams, and I focus on the Red Sox and Yankees, remember, they beat the Red Sox in that first round of those playoffs, and the Red Sox got smoked both games in Houston before losing game four to get eliminated in the series. I think Red Sox fans largely forget about that because they then beat the Astros the next year in the ALCS and then won the World Series. Yankee fans, if I were a Yankee fan like Woody in Plattsburgh is, I would be fuming every day about this. You know, the Yankees haven't won a World Series in a decade, and maybe that doesn't seem a lot if you're a Cincinnati Reds fan. To the Yankees, that's a long time. You haven't won a World Series in a decade. It was taken from you in 2017, and I get why they're upset. And you think about the players that it impacted. You know, I went through the rosters of both the Red Sox and the Yankees in those series and said, okay, which players did this really affect? And for the Red Sox, really nobody. Everybody who was there in 2017 came back in 2018, and everybody who wasn't going to be there in 2018 wouldn't have been there anyways. Mm-hmm. For the Yankees, look at the questions we had for Luis Severino. Remember, he got lit up, Rich, in that wild card game against the Twins.
In the first inning,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then he got pulled. And we said, hey, should he even start against the Astros? Right. Should they even pitch him? Can they trust him? And Buster's talking about pitch tipping. And there was just this calendar year of, can Severino pitch in the playoffs? And what about his makeup and his mindset and all that? The Astros helped create that paranoia for Luis Severino, and I feel bad for that.
I totally forgot the Severino first inning. I mean, that set up everything for the rest of the series.
I like who we like to assign blame to. And do other teams really care that much? The reason I bring that up is, like, if I told Rich, if you were single and you wanted to date somebody, and I said, don't date that girl. She's stolen. She takes people's checks. She steals cars. Blah, blah, blah. You're like, okay, you know. Cool. You know, but I'm going to date her anyway. It doesn't matter. What about all these guys that cheated back then, but yet all these other teams now sign those guys and are saying nothing? They're like, okay, we know you cheated a couple of years ago, but you're on our team now, so it's okay.
How many guys are there like that?
They're not still all on the 27. They're still not all on the Astros. So there's got to be guys. There's got to be guys from. What about Mookie Betts or Boston? You know how much cheating was going on. You know, you could put all that stuff out there. But it's like, oh no. He's on our team now. So everything's good. It's all good now.
But it's so ridiculous now. Everybody's running for cover. And I mean, you talk about the Red Sox, Brady, and you mentioned what their fan base and their especially team and organization have nowhere to go right now on this. And you know, you talked about the Red Sox getting eliminated soundly with those two games in Houston. Sure, that's suspicious, but the Red Sox have no leg to stand on right now until this investigation on how much, if at all, they cheated comes through.
Arnie, and to your point about, you're right, not everyone's still on the 2017, not everyone from the 2017 Astros is still on the Astros, but look at how that team has disbanded. Okay, Brian McCann's retired.
Right.
Carlos Beltran is retired. A lot of the other players, the players on other organizations, they have spoken. Joe Musgrove, who was a rookie on that team, he spoke. He's with Pittsburgh. Charlie Morton spoke. He's in Tampa.
But why?
Marwin Gonzalez spoke. He's in Minnesota.
Why let those guys go to other teams? Shouldn't the other teams go, you know what? You're a cheater. I don't know if I want a cheater on my team. Is that not a fair thing to bring up?
If you want your organization run with morality, then sure, fine.
If you were going to the doctor and I said, that dentist or doctor, he cheated on his exam, but good luck to you going there. I don't know, you'd be real happy.
No, I understand that. I think there's a degree of validity to that. But when you're talking about pitchers, I don't believe that they deserve the same scrutiny. And as for free agent hitters, I can't even think of anyone other than Marwin Gonzalez that played a big role on that team that isn't still in Houston, okay? Jake Marisnik got traded to the Mets, but not a huge part of that.
But you know what? It shouldn't be surprising even if they did sign people, anybody, because they'll sign people that have domestic violence.
Right.
That doesn't even bother them, so.
I mean, but the core of that team, Springer, Bregman, Altuve,
they're
Gurriel,
still with the Astros.
They're all there. And that's why you haven't seen the situation like you're talking about. You know, and Jim Crane, we started off this segment with his comment about, oh, we won the World Series. That's how we talk about it. So he said, we won the World Series. We'll leave it at that. We don't believe that this impacted games. But then he backtracked on it. Marley Rivera of ESPN, she asked this question. Let's hear Jim Crane number three.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. It's hard to determine how it impacted the game, if it impacted the game, and that's where we're going to leave it.
Okay, number one, that was not Marley Rivera, sorry. But two, you did say it didn't impact the game. That's what you just told us. You just told us that, and then you backtracked. This was a joke.
We're just going to leave it at that? No, we're not going to just leave it at that. I don't understand why we just have to leave it at
that. There's 1 minute between the time he said that it didn't impact the game and he says, I didn't say it didn't impact the game. 1 minute during that press conference, which is about the entire length of it.
You know what they should have done, Brady, is the reporters should have gotten together and said, we're not going to ease up. Everybody just keep on, you know, just going straight for the jugular. Don't ease up. We all got to stand in unison and just go right after these guys until they just break down and give us the answers that we want.
Well, yeah, but obviously the Astros controlled everything, the narrative completely in that press conference. I'm assuming there was somebody standing right next to them and telling them it's time to go, like there always is in press conferences that guys don't want to put on.
You know, Arnie, you said it right, I think, a couple minutes ago when you said this isn't going to go away. And usually I think that scandal will go away because we find something new to be enraged by or be outraged by so quickly. And it's a political election year. Something's going to happen there that's going to divert our attention. Antonio Brown will do something stupid that'll get us back.
An airline seat will recline or won't recline.
Yeah, I mean, like, we always find something new to be mad about. This isn't going to go away because there's always going to be layers on top of it. You're going to have opening day that's going to come out, and then you're going to have the Astros traveling to different cities every week, and they're all going to line up for their first chance to get a piece of the Astros. This is not going to go away. They start off their year with four home games in Houston, and then they're on the road for a little bit, and that's going to be trouble.
Yeah, can you imagine what the signs are going to be like at Yankee Stadium? I mean, especially after everything they've gone through for the last couple of weeks, it's just going to be brutal. I don't think the Boston fans are going to have any right to put up any signs, but I think it's going to follow them everywhere they go. I mean, you saw all the steroid signs everywhere Barry Bonds went.
I'm sorry, but if I was a professional athlete and I was on the other end of this Houston cheating scandal where I got, you know, taken advantage of, I guess is the word.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm a pitcher, I'm not coming inside Altuve or Bregman or any of those guys you mentioned. I don't know if I'm going headhunting, but I may have to go after a knee or two. Because I'd be so upset. I don't know if I could control myself.
And I think Major League Baseball is going to have to go through an extensive amount of safety precautions when the Astros are playing. I think this has a multifaceted angle here. There's many tentacles to this story, Rich. I think you're going to get umpire warnings before the game's even started in almost every Astros, at least road game of the year.
And I believe Jose Altuve is going to be the absolute poster boy of all of this.
See, I think it's Bregman.
So, well, Bregman has been known as kind of an outspoken guy that doesn't rub everybody the right way, but that Altuve video, I think... He's never going to be able to outrun that thing.
And, you know, today... Maybe it's just because it was the first day of baseball season, in quotes, because we're at spring training. As bad as I've known this story is, and as much as this story has upset me, today was the first day where it fully registered with me. Now, everybody knows I'm a Mariners fan. The Mariners are really bad. Like, I never said, oh, the Mariners are one Astros trash can away, bang, from being in the World Series. Like, the Mariners were so far removed from the Astros that it never really bothered me as a Mariners fan because they were never in the same stratosphere. And as a Red Sox supporter, I looked at it and said, well, hey, the Red Sox won the World Series in 2018, so all's forgiven from their end. But today, to see them standing up there, with the tone deafness that they deliver today, today's the first day where it really hit me hard as it probably should have months ago.
I want to know who's the PR company they used to give him that type of information, and then I want to interview the PR company. Let's see what they've got to say, if they're so good at that, because you know, they're not good at taking live questions. You know, the whole thing is sickening. And I was ready to kind of move on from it, but after today, it's something that's going to linger the whole year.
Wow.
It's going to start from day one.
Ben and Albert calling you out there.
What did I say?
Look at that.
Arnie acts like he's never done anything to take advantage of someone else or cheated somebody.
Wow.
Arnie's usually pretty generous, I would say, except for when it comes to setting up equipment with us, in which case he shows up late, leaves early, and then doesn't help.
But you know what? Again, taking advantage, this is not even taking advantage. This is worse than that.
Yeah.
This is just straight out. If this is straight out theft, it's what it's borderline here. You know, if you really want to look at it, they won the World Series because they cheated. Someone could actually say they benefited millions and millions of dollars.
Course.
That's a crime. That's a legitimate crime you've committed.
And players lost their jobs. Some
yes,
of these
they
players
did.
Lost jobs and never got a chance in the big leagues.
And you wonder when you see the videos of Altuve rounding the base after the home run in the ALCS
with the
against the Yankees, and you look at all those videos of them piling onto each other after winning the World Series. Isn't there something, a little bit of guilt creeping in at some point in all that celebrating?
As a fan?
No,
as a player.
As a player.
I don't know that the players have that kind of conscience.
Wow.
I don't. And, you know, I think they feel bad that they got caught, not necessarily because of what they did. And you talk about the Yankees. Aroldis Chapman says he feels cheated. Tanaka said he felt cheated. CC Sabathia says he feels cheated. A lot of players that were part of the 2017 and 2019 Yankees feel cheated. You want to hear how Alex Bregman addressed this. 30 seconds prepared statement. Here's what Alex Bregman had to say about this today for the first time at spring training, Aaron.
I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
And that was it.
Well, you see, now,
and that was it. No questions walked.
Then you know what?
Forward.
Then, and then not to take it another direction, that Pete's going to then allow Pete Rose back in. Don't say the people who took PEDs were cheaters then, because taking a PED and doing this is pretty much the same thing. So if we're not going to punish the players, then don't punish anybody. Just wipe it clean. Get all these guys into the Hall of Fame. And do it that way. I can't punish anybody, Brady, if we're not going to punish these guys. I mean, it's terrible. In Arnie's defense to the Allberg guy, he may sound obnoxious on the radio, but he also sounds genuine and honest when it counts. First-time texter. I like that one.
And I'm surprised you didn't read Shane's, because that's right up your alley.
I wonder if the sports books will have a response toward this. Millions of dollars won and lost for people around the world based on cheating. Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's anything they could do about that now.
Maybe, there was one sports book, I think, returned bets on the 2017 Yankees.
To win the World Series? Is that?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Yeah. Wait, they must have not taken a lot, because they could afford to do that. All right. Off and running. We're at the Auto Saver Max. Come on by on Shelburne Road. You know exactly where it is. Right off Harbor View Road. Some awesome deals going on, especially if you're looking for a Jeep, SUV, a truck. All kinds of great deals out here. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, the Red Sox have four starters. They may never get to a fifth. Sort what are we talking about here?
All right, we'll get to that next. You're in the huddle. What do we point to the game?
Arnie.
I'm going to play something for my voicemail. It should be loud enough for me to put it on speakerphone.
Okay.
But let me. This is for my mom.
So you're going to have to put it up to the microphone.
Yeah, yeah. Listen to this.
Brady. Hit the button.
I did. Wait. Here.
Rich.
This is great radio.
It's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, moving along on a somewhat snowy Thursday, right?
A little delayed. I heard 3 to 6 inches this morning. And had anything until about an hour ago.
That's when the Arnie Doppler 3000 said it was going to happen this afternoon. You got to tune into the Arnie Doppler 3000.
Okay. How do I tune into that?
I'll put it up on Twitter next time. Okay. So, but yeah, a little bit of snow. We're at the Auto Saver Max. Come on by Shelburne Road, Harborview. It's not that one. What's so funny?
I just laugh that you think, you know, it's on Harborview. And I was like, how does he know that? And then I realized there's a giant street sign right in front of us.
Yes, that I could see that. But I knew it was on Harborview anyway when I was coming down and I saw the street address. It said, make a right on Harborview. So come on by a great selection of cars, trucks, SUVs, Jeeps. From all around New England, so great deals, and I'm really eyeing this Jeep Cherokee. I like the bells and whistles. Bells, and you like the Vet, though. I like that.
Is that really a Vet? It's just unbelievable.
It is. I would like to take that for a test drive. I may do that at the 4 o'clock
today,
hour. Yeah, I don't care. I'm taking
it. It's too dirty out to take this car out. This car is way too nice to take it out.
There's a reason it's in the showroom.
Yeah. You can go out. Remember, if you're looking for a truck, they've got Chevy Silverados, Ford F 150s, GMC Sierras, Toyota Tundras, ooh, Ram trucks, super good prices. They've even got a selection of trucks priced at $10,000 or less. So this is the largest selection of pre-owned trucks and SUVs in Vermont and upstate New York. So worth your drive from anywhere in Vermont and Plattsburgh. So this is definitely the place.
And by the way, CJ and Burlington wanted to know, was that Bregman or a robot? He wasn't sure about that. I think the robot.
It sounded like a robot.
It did. I'm going to go with that.
It was extremely scripted.
I'm really sorry.
It was an embarrassing display. The Astros did this completely wrong. They look like they were forced to apologize. It's like when your parents, when you're a young kid, and you hit the kid next to you on the playground,
I'm
and your mom
sorry.
Says, go say I'm sorry, and he goes, sorry. Like, that's exactly
I'm
what
I'm sorry you're not tough enough.
Right, I'm going to do it again in 5 minutes when your parents walk away.
That's exactly what it looked like. Town Fair Tire text line open, 802-655-6672. On-site today here at the Auto Saver Max, Shelburne Road, South Burlington. We are giving away ski passes and a pair of tickets to Yankees Blue Jays Montreal in north of the border March 23rd and 4th. However, in our VIP contest online only at 113thegame.com, we're giving away those same tickets, but a pair for both games, and we're giving you two nights at the Residence Inn Montreal downtown. So you can go sign up online exclusively at 113thegame.com. The Red Sox currently have four starting pitchers.
Yes.
Everybody, they have Chris Sale.
Sort of.
They have Eduardo Rodriguez. They have Nathan Eovaldi. And they have Martin.
I think they have more outfielders than pitchers, so go ahead.
They do not have a fifth starter. And now we hear they may not go with a fifth starter. They may not even bring a fifth starter in from the outside. They've got a hodgepodge collection of quadruple A caliber arms
right.
that they could use. And now we hear that much like where Chaim Bloom came from in Tampa, they could use the opener. The Boston Red Sox could be using an opener where they start a reliever and just piecemeal together
right.
their fifth starter position. What do you think of this idea of the Sox getting creative to fill that hole?
Starting tonight for the Red Sox, Marcus Walden.
Ooh, yes.
That puts a lot of confidence in me. How about Heath Embry out there for the first inning against the 1-2-3 hitters?
That's exactly what it would be.
It terrifies me. I mean, it's an interesting idea, but as I've said all along, this is just a Band-Aid on a major wound. I mean, when you talk about Perez and Eovaldi as your 3-4, 4-3 starter, it's going to be a long summer.
We haven't even started spring training, and they're waving the flag. They're just saying, we don't care about this year at all. Let's just go out there. How many starters we got? That's how many we got. And how many outfielders we got? Get two more. It doesn't make a difference. Whatever it is, it is. It just feels like it's like we all know we're going to suck this year, so we'll suck and everybody will give us a pass. It just feels like
that. And we'll still put $38,000 in Fenway for $150 a pop.
Look, I'm okay if the Red Sox use the opener if that's their last resort. However, this is not their last resort right now. There are arms available, and Rich, you're going to laugh when I say it, but they need some innings eaters. They need some proven major league starters, because I don't want to go into the year with Ryan Weber, and I don't want to go into the year with Hector Velasquez.
I was the one that said that they should get Felix. King Felix, you guys laughed at me, didn't you? What did he end up signing for?
He signed for a minor league deal with the Atlanta Braves.
I look like a genius now. It would have been perfect here, would he not?
Yeah, but he's also injured. Whatever. A little more reliable than that.
Better than Andrew Pitch.
Pitch with your other hand. With this rate, you only got four pitchers anyway. Get him out of here.
He's in Wakefield. Is he available?
He's living in Florida. I wanted them to get Taiwan Walker. They didn't get him. He signed with Seattle yesterday. So they can go out and get Andrew Cashner. They can go out and get Aaron Sanchez. These are guys that I would want them to get. Guys that could eat some innings. In Sanchez's case, he's also been injured a lot, but he's significantly younger than a guy like Felix Hernandez and has much more upside at this point. So I would take either one of those guys. And now if you're going to tell me you're going to use the opener and you're going to have, Mike Schwarren. These are the possibilities right now that could be the first starter.
Where's Porcello?
Yes, he did.
Where's Porcello when you need him?
I'm not going to say a thing about that.
I mean, you would die for somebody like him now. You know that, don't you? You would absolutely go ballistic for him.
Yeah, you need another innings eater there. I mean, this is just...
Thank you, JJ.
And they've said that Darwin's and Hernandez is going to be a reliever for this team. And you know what? It's probably the right move. But it disappoints me because Darwin's and Hernandez, at least if you tell me that he's going to be the fifth starter, at least you'd give me some optimism about somebody who's building something for the future. But they're going to leave him a reliever. And look, he's only got two pitches. He throws 100 miles an hour and he's got a slider. That's about all he does.
And so I guess everybody.
He could be a top-end reliever down the line. I'd like to see him be the starter.
I'll tell you who the fifth starter is for the Red Sox, and I don't even know his name. The fifth starter for the Red Sox is whoever had the most wins in the minor league for the Red Sox. You're promoted. You get the first shot. You leave me no choice.
Some 17-year-old.
I don't know. Whoever he is.
Greenville.
Whoever he is, he is. Whoever had the most wins, you get the first shot. Whoever had the second most wins, you get the second shot.
From the Lowell Spinners to your Boston Red Sox.
What do you want me to do? You're leaving me no choice here. I got to put somebody up here, huh?
There's nothing. And that's why I was so disappointed in that trade with the Dodgers. They didn't get a single young pitcher back for Mookie. So I don't know. I mean, Velasquez, I guess, but he walks everybody. And, I mean, Darwin's and Hernandez has had all kinds of problems. It's not Velasquez that walks everyone. It's Hernandez who walks everybody. It's been a huge issue in the minor league. So at this point, I have every game is going to be 11-8.
Milo says, I bet we even lose to BC and Northeastern this year.
And with the injury concerns that you have on this staff with Sale and with Eovaldi, you're going to need to go out and get multiple pieces. This is not just, you need the fifth starter spot. You need all kinds of depth in here as far as I'm concerned, where you need to be able to go out and get 3 to 4 more additional guys because you have no idea what Sale gives you. You have no idea what Eovaldi gets you. I mean, this is a bad look right now for the Red Sox.
We're being bribed, by the way. We're being bribed in a trade for chocolate to send a shout-out to Andy Lothrop, Becky's husband, who is a salesperson here. But Becky. And an avid Bengals fan.
Well, that's his problem. That's his problem.
That can't be easy to live with.
Yeah. But for chocolate, Rich will do anything.
Anything else you'd like me to say on the air for chocolate?
Oh,
go
my
ahead.
Goodness. Yes, back to Red Sox. Can we go back there?
Are you gonna eat there he goes.
If you give us chocolate, we will.
Are you going to eat your your chocolate on the air.
No, if you continuously bring us chocolate, we'll just continue to schlep out whatever you want us to.
What are we going
to
say when the Red Sox are 23 and a half games out of first by the end of June to the Yankees? They're still seven behind the last wild card spot, though. They could still make a move there.
That's where Ronnie then goes with the split season idea.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe
exactly.
That isn't such a bad idea.
Then I go, hey, wait a minute, 2 o'clock start, we get this day off.
Well, I have only 2 extra wild card contenders. How about 6?
Jeez.
You know, and speaking of Red Sox pitching, the Red Sox won, in quotes, arbitration today, their arbitration hearing with Eduardo Rodriguez. So Erod, basically, he's in a special case where he's got 4 years worth of being arbitration eligible. So we can do arbitration 4 times. Most guys only get 3. So he told the Red Sox this year, I want $8.9 million. The Red Sox countered and said, we think you're worth $8.3. And then they went to court. Unreal. They could not settle in the middle. They went to court. The Red Sox won. $8.3 million, but we just saw this happen with Mookie Betts where we think that the arbitration animosity actually mattered in the end in terms of whether or not Mookie wanted to be here. And here we are, as Aaron put out on Twitter, the Red Sox just took their most reliable pitcher to court over $600,000.
Why couldn't they find a middle ground? You think they split it 300 each and everybody would walk away? I don't understand that.
How about you give Erod, after a 20-win season and no pitching rotation whatsoever, whatever he wants. I mean, but I'm talking about whatever he's supposed to get, whatever the high end of what he's supposed to be paid. Don't go to arbitration with him, of all people. He's the only guy who's going to keep the scoreboard down this summer.
Look, he finished in the top 10 in Cy Young voting last year. Yeah. He had over 200 strikeouts. He threw 200 innings. He went 19-6 on the year. He had a 3.81 ERA. He was one of the top pitchers in the American League. Now, I don't know that he can replicate it this year. Maybe that's why they were fearful of it, but I hate the idea of the Boston Red Sox and Eduardo Rodriguez and his representation sitting in a courtroom. And the Red Sox are telling Erod, this is why you're not good enough to get what you think you want. And that, to me, I look, Dellin Betances went to arbitration with the Yankees and ended up very resentful about it. Marcus Stroman went to arbitration with the Blue Jays and ended up very resentful about it. They subsequently traded him to the Mets. I don't have the percentages on how often a guy who actually goes to court ends up leaving the team. I don't have any idea finding that out, but I don't like the idea of it optically.
And the timing couldn't be worse. If you're John Henry, you made $100 million in the last 3 days or whatever. How about just giving in to the $600,000? And I can't believe I'm saying that, because I rarely usually go the other way with it. But I think the timing is terrible in the public eye, too. I mean, John Henry can't give a 19-game winner and their only hope on the mound an extra $600,000. It's ridiculous. This is a time when you should be doing anything you can to keep your good players.
Town Fair Tire text line, if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Go ahead and jump on in as we're live at Auto Saver Max. Come on by. You know where it is, right off Shelburne Road, across from O'Reilly's on Harborview. So go ahead and see what you like down here. All kinds of great truck selections, Jeep selections, SUV, some great cars. We got this beautiful vet right next to us. So come on out. Check it out.
Poor sales staff is trying to talk quietly, numbers and, and Arnie's over here in the corner. Ah! And they've got a huge gong here. Is that when a sale happens?
If it is, believe me, they'll be hitting that a lot.
How about when Arnie mispronounces a word, we hit the gong? Scare the hell out of everybody within a mile of this place.
That's probably every time that Rich gets bribed with chocolate.
Wow.
There's a big pile in front of me. I'm psyched.
Let's get to They Said What. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. What do I point to the game?
Whoa. What did he say? He really said that? It's They Said What?
What?
On the huddle.
What? Yeah. What?
On 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, live at Auto Saver Max. Come on by. A lot on the Town Fair Tire text line, like Joe in Essex. The Red Sox should think Erod is only worth $8.3 million with 19 wins. How much did Sale make last year? Arnie, the stinking genius, warned you guys that Sale would never live up to his contract. Erod should at least make as much as Sale, who struggled to 10 wins. Yeah, can you imagine that, huh? Imagine giving him that contract.
Well, he'll get his day. The question is, will it be in a Red Sox uniform? Because he'll be so ticked off that he had to go to arbitration every year.
Although I think Sale only made $13 million last year.
The Sale's
only.
Let me explain something to you. Mookie Betts is not on this team because of Chris Sale.
Sale made $15 million last year, rather. Yeah.
Because of that outrageous contract.
That's
but
that
nothing
two,
you do about it now.
A win?
About 2.5, because he only had six wins last year.
$15 million to win six games.
I'll give him 9 this year.
I should have been a baseball player.
We're going to have some fun in hour 2 with everybody freaking out about Tom Brady speculation and people getting into it with me on Twitter and Facebook today. But just to aid to your Patriots quarterback discussion, how about today an interesting side comment made by Colin Cowherd on The Herd, noon to 3, about who the Patriots might look at if Tom Brady's not there?
If Tom Brady bolts, they're going to give him. If Stafford's not on the market, Andy Dalton's getting a call. I guarantee you, he gets a call by New England if Brady bails, which he won't. But if he did, that's who you call.
I will be checking on all of my Patriots friends if that happens.
So Colin says, "Look, this is not Brady speculation. Everybody who's mad about Brady speculation, including Rich,
yes,
this is not Brady speculation. He's just saying that if Brady's not there for any reason, retirement, leave, whatever." The Patriots will call Andy Dalton, and the Bengals have said they are willing to trade him because, you know, they're going to take probably Joe Burrow number one.
And then the rumor is that they were going to trade the number one pick, too. So, I mean, look, I like Andy Dalton. Do I think that he's a guy that's going to make you forget about Tom Brady? Well, not until he gets that first win. Then they'll forget about Tom Brady real quick if they're winning. I don't know if Andy Dalton's the guy, though. I don't know if he's a polarizing enough figure at quarterback. I know the bottom line is to just win, but I think I don't know if that's the way I want to go. I'd have some other quarterbacks in mind other than him.
Is it possible the Red Rifle would want so little money that you'd have plenty to spend and you could surround him with a ton of talent to throw to?
He already has a deal. He's not a free agent.
Okay, what's he making? Any idea?
Like $17 million.
Okay, that's not horrible.
But you'd have to give up something to get him. And the question is, what would it be? Would it be a fourth-round pick? Would it be a seventh-round pick? I don't know. Now, Andy Dalton is – you know, Andy Dalton's a guy who's been in the playoffs. And I hate to say that because I know – you know, Andy Dalton's been in the playoffs 4 times. Now, it hasn't happened recently, but he went to the playoffs 4 consecutive years. Yeah. 2011 through 14, he went to the playoffs every year. Now, do I think – I certainly think – as a guy who could mentor a young quarterback, as a guy who's not going to eat up your payroll for a bunch of years to come, I think you could do worse than Andy Dalton. I like Andy Dalton more than I like Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's I don't like him as much as I like Derek Carr. Like, I would like to trade for Derek Carr more if Tom Brady's not here. I'd like to draft a young quarterback also and have him be the guy of the future. But if you're asking me for next year to keep the team competitive, I don't hate the idea of Andy Dalton as much as other people do.
Well, the question becomes, does it come down to X or Jared Stidham? Then I wouldn't mind X being Andy Dalton. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I mean, I haven't looked at his numbers last year, but the thing is he was surrounded by almost nothing, and that was the case for so many of his years, so I'm not sure it's all on him.
Look at Andy Dalton right now. In his career, Andy Dalton has played for, let me count this up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and he's got 5 winning seasons. Again, it hasn't happened recently,
right?
But he's been 9-7, 10-6, 11-5, 10-5-1, and 10-3 in a season where he didn't start 16 games. Andy Dalton has been a reliable quarterback for a lot of years, and when he's had a good team around him, he has been okay. So again, I don't love it for the long term. If you told me Andy Dalton's going to be the quarterback for the next 5 years, I would say, okay, no, no, and hell no. But if you're telling me for next year, okay.
Maybe. Miles in St. Albans, Taysom Hill. You know what I think about him. Brady, you don't like him. I'm a big fan of his. Bob in Milton said, Brady, your voice is dropping off again, so I think you're vocal frying. And Ken in White River, Vrabel is good friends with Brady. The GM is a former Patriot. There's former Pats players on the Titans, and the Titans have a ton of offensive weapons, similar culture, familiarity, championship ready. If anywhere, he's going to the Titans. So, and I would think that that'd certainly be a strong possibility if I'm Tom Brady. Also.
Colin listed the Titans at 20% on his Tom Brady pie chart today. He had the Patriots at 70, the Titans at 20, and then 5% other options.
Brady, what would you do if Taysom Hill was the quarterback of the Patriots? You don't think that would be very successful? You don't
move back to Albany where they cover the Jets? I mean, like, I'd rather cover.
You're so anti this guy. It's funny, you know.
I am anti the people who are so beloved for no reason generally gets under my skin. Like, there's a group of people who hated Tebow because everyone would talk about Tebow.
Right, right.
Everybody would talk about how great Tebow was and when he wasn't that great, whatever. Taysom Hill is that, but not as good. He's that annoying to me, but not as good. The people who get irritated with Tebow talk and Jimmer talk, like Taysom Hill is on that level to me of annoyance, but nowhere near the skill set of either one of those players. He's a good athlete. He's a good football player.
He's not a good quarterback.
He did make it onto Dan Patrick today. He, not personally, but his name actually got dropped, and somebody predicted that he would have 14 next year, and the guy said, oh, you mean 14 passes? He said, no, 14 touchdown passes. So that you're not the only one that has.
Oh, they're stealing. They're listening to us and stealing our info is what they're doing there. That's exactly what they're doing.
That's because Arnie's on the show.
1 hour in the books, live at Autosaver Max. Come on by. We're going to be here until 6. I believe they're open until 7. All kinds of great deals here. Like we told you, a great inventory of trucks, Jeeps, SUVs. We have this, of course, beautiful vet right next to us. Just come on down, check it out, see if you could make a deal. Some great prices here. Hour one in the Brooks. Brady will tell you what's trending, and then we'll get you ready for the top four at four. That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Arnie, Rich, Brady.
Yes, we did. We did that. Didn't do a good job, but I think we did. We may have done. Maybe we didn't. I'm not sure. Maybe we didn't.
It's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, all in a counted four. We are live at the Autosaver Max. Come on by. You know where it is, right off Shelburne Road, Harbor View. Great deals. You'll love that I know it's Harbor View.
I love that you can read, yes.
Well, right, I've said it a bunch of times. It's etched in my brain.
I think it's the only thing on Harbor View.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't it?
So you got trucks, SUVs. All kinds of great deals. So come on by and check it on out. And this beautiful Corvette that...
Are we giving that away at the end
of the wish show? We were. Could you imagine if we were giving away that Corvette? We'd have 10 million people here lined up around the block to just try to win this thing.
But we are giving away some stuff, I'll tell you. Stop on by on your way down Route 7 down Shelburne Road. If you're heading south, just stop in. You can win a pair of those Yankees Blue Jays tickets for the Montreal Olympic Center. Wait, is it still Olympic Stadium?
Yes.
Okay, I thought maybe they changed the name to make it sound more impressive.
No, Olympic Stadium.
We've also got two tickets to ski at Smuggler's Notch, two Pico Mountain lift tickets, too. All you got to do is come by here and sign up, say hi, and check out some of the great vehicles.
No purchase is required to win those prizes, but as for when you're here at the Autosaver Max store, look, they've got high-quality, newer model pre-owned vehicles, trucks, SUVs from all their 15 dealerships in three states, Vermont, New York, and New Hampshire, and they've got a great selection of trucks priced at $10,000 or less. They've got SUVs like Honda CRVs, Nissan Rogues, Ford Escapes. I've got a CRV. They're delightful. You should get one too. I test drove a Nissan Rogue. Also delightful. You should get one of those as well. So, and top dollar from these appraisers for your vehicle. Arnie's already tried to trade in all of his cars for all three new
ready.
Ones.
I am
six
ready.
Of them.
I'm ready to trade in, especially if I can get myself like a Jeep Cherokee. That's the new one on my list. I want a Jeep Cherokee and with all the bells and the whistles and all that stuff.
When you're going to do this, are you talking to Beth, or are you just going to make a sudden impulse?
I've never bought a car without telling my wife. I think today you might have to be the first day.
Wow.
I think I have to make an exception today.
Come home with that vet.
Yeah.
Don't be all that upset until it's too late.
I was
amazed how affordable it was.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like a $100,000 car.
Beautiful car.
How many times did she call you when we were setting up today?
She called me once,
Was she just checking in on you to make sure that you ran the spending through her?
She's like, you're not going to bring home a new car, are you? I may. That was mostly my brother calling me, so he was on my way to my aunt's funeral. So,
how many phone calls do you think you get a day?
Oh, I get a lot. I don't know what the world was like before we had mobile phones like this. We had to stay in our house, Rich, and wait for someone to call you.
You get more calls in a day than I get in 2 months.
Can I say I'm incredibly disappointed in you, Arnie?
Yes. Why? Well, you're always disappointed. Yes.
Well, you told us that before the show.
Yeah.
That some young aspiring radio show host.
Yes.
Reached out to you for advice.
Yes.
And you told him no.
No, I didn't tell him no.
You said there was a kid in Boston.
Yeah.
Who you said you can't talk to him because you're on the competitor station.
No, I said, well, he's calling me from WEEI, and I said, I'm on the hub. But I said, yeah, give me a call. I gave him my phone number and told him to call me this weekend.
I thought you weren't going to help him.
No, maybe I get some information from him. No, I don't know. I'm like, you have a whole station of stars, at that one, and you're calling me up, and I'm on the other one, and I'm 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Yeah,
so I don't know what you want from me exactly. Yeah.
You're
a big deal. Yeah, I'm a big deal. I'm a big deal for crying out loud. Though this Saturday I'm 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Filling in for the guys from Vegas. They're taking the day off, so we have to.
Are you getting extra money for that?
Of course. Don't do it for free.
Do you get calls at 2:30 in the morning? I mean, is everyone just hammered? Or
we don't. But first of all, it's 2:30 in the morning Eastern. It's only 11:30 on the West Coast. So
everyone is hammered.
Yeah, everybody's hammered. Okay. And plus, there's so much sports that people want to talk about it. It's crazy.
On the West Coast, they probably play Arnie's show's drinking games. Every time he goes,
exactly.
Wow, take two
take
shots.
Take a shot. Do something like that. So, yeah, it's not late on the West Coast. And plus, you got to remember people getting home from the bars, too. So
who's getting home from the bars
at
11:30?
No, on the East Coast, yeah.
In the West Coast, they're just heading to the bars at 11:30, aren't they?
Yeah, well, in Los Angeles.
Are they late for everything?
Well, in Tucson, I think they stopped serving at like 1 in the morning in Arizona. Used to have the last call thing going at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Glenn in Moncton.
Yeah.
If Arnie got a Jeep, then he wouldn't be able to call out when it snows.
Yeah, that's true. Though I have two SUVs right now, and I called out, so what difference does it make? I really would like a nice. I used to have a CJ7.
A what?
A CJ7 Jeep.
Never heard of it.
It's like a Wrangler now, but it was before them, and it was an awesome one. It was the round headlights. They don't make them anymore, but I would die for something like that, all tricked out with the big tires and all that good stuff. So, yeah,
You're not a tricked out guy.
I'm a tricked out guy now. Now I'm a tricked out guy. I need my cars
crisis.
Tricked out. Exactly.
How was Orange Theory today? I'm going later.
Ooh. Kicks your butt today.
I'll tell you, it was a butt kicker.
Kicks your butt every day, Arnie. I'll have to ask Rich how it was.
It was 30 minutes of uphill running. That was tough.
Okay.
And a lot of burpees.
So you're telling me I shouldn't have another hot dog before I leave here? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, come on by. If you guys are hungry, stop in. They've got Olive Garden food here. They got hot dogs. They got cookies. They got candy. You name it.
Jim says the more often Arnie calls out, the better. Thank you, Jim, in Essex for that. Wow. All right, Brady, let's get to it. The top four at four.
The Huddle has 3 hours of show to cover everything. Every day.
Four.
So you don't miss any.
Three.
It's the top four at four.
Two. One.
On 101.3 The Game.
And the top four at four is all thanks to Grazer's Restaurant, Maple Tree Place, Williston, and Main Street in St. Albans. You can order online at grazersvt.com. Rich, you're going to St. Albans today. You should take your girlfriend out to a pre-Valentine's dinner up at Grazer's Restaurant. So you could do
dollar menu
and order. No, Grazer's is high-quality, non-dollar menu food.
It's going for Rich.
GrazersVT.com. And Agave Taco Tequila Casa, also Maple Tree Place in Williston. Remember, Sunday brunch goes off 10 until 2. You can online order at AgaveVT.com. Now, number four.
Number four.
Bruins captain Zdeno Chara got fined $5,000 for a cross-check last night on Brendan Gallagher, the Canadiens. Bruins won that game 4-1. This play in question was in the second period with about 14 and a half minutes to go. NHL Department of Player Safety did fine Chara $5,000, which is the maximum that they're allowed to fine him. So it's the cross-check. So it was at a face-off circle.
Yep.
Okay, and Chara was not taking the draw against Gallagher, but Gallagher kind of instigated or kind of tried to ruffle Chara's feathers. Chara, who's significantly taller than the 5'9 Gallagher, cross-checks him, hits him what appeared to be either in the upper throat or the chin. His head went backwards. Chara thought he was embellishing. Both guys got penalties, roughing for Gallagher, cross-checking for Chara. Chara gets a $5,000 fine.
Yeah, there was no embellishment there. He deserved the $5,000 fine. Probably deserved the penalty also, or he did deserve a penalty. If I was on the other team, I would have tried to take him out sometime during the game. I don't let you do that to my teammate. I'm watching that. There was another skirmish where somebody also took their stick and hit him right around the neck, Rich, and they didn't call.
I'll tell you what,
I was watching that game. I can't remember who it was.
I think he should be suspended for that hit. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was just like, did he just really do that? There's a lot of times when stuff like that nasty stick play happens behind the play and you don't see it. But that was there was no play going on. They hadn't even dropped the puck yet. And he just whacks him right in the face.
And the official was right there, right in front of him.
I couldn't believe it. I think he should get a one-game suspension. I just couldn't believe that. That was a vicious hit.
I don't think it should be suspended. Look at you. overcompensating.
No, one hit.
No, you're overcompensating because yesterday Ty in Canada got really mad at you.
Well, it's because he was wrong.
And said you were a hypocrite who always defends your team. So here you are coming
down extra harsh.
No, Chara just to prove
Ty's
that
in
you're
your
not
head.
No, well, Ty was just flat out wrong and misinformed on that one. That has nothing to do with this. It's just I can't tell you how many times I've said Bruins should get more penalty than they did. And as for the other part of it, I don't even want to go into it because he couldn't have been more wrong.
But you're still mad about
that. That being said, well, I don't like being called a hypocrite when it's wrong.
You hypocrite.
Flat out misinformed.
22 hours ago, and you're still upset by this. Hey, look, I don't think Chara deserves the suspension.
Boy, you watched that hit?
I did watch. I showed you that hit. It was a dirty play. Okay? It was before the play even started. I don't believe that it was with malicious intent to injure. I do think it was a dirty play, but I don't believe he got carried away,
and he got his emotions got caught up.
I think that Chara is 10 inches taller than Gallagher, and you know, in his mind, Chara thinks he's hitting him in the chest, but he ends up hitting him in the chin, and I think that's because of the height difference. I don't think there was an idea there by Chara to injure. It was wrong. It was unnecessary. He got the maximum fine that he can get from the Department of Player Safety. I'm good with that, and we move on.
Same guy that plastered Pacioretty into the expansion.
How many years ago? Yeah, I understand that.
Let that one go.
No, but can you imagine if that had happened? Well, I have, but I mean, can you imagine if that had happened in Montreal? Chara is already public enemy number one up there.
You know what I thought the worst part of that was the Bruins public address announcer, and Rich, you do this at the Lake Monsters when you guys play music. You know, the pitcher gets taken out, and you play, well, he's had a bad day, like all that stuff. So Gallagher, who's only 5'9", they play on the loudspeaker right as they're all going to the box. He goes, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a ball. Because he's only 5'. Like, that was the more egregious part of the whole thing, was making fun of his height.
One of the goals in the game, I forget which one. Was it the second one or third one that Price gave up was just her hideous.
Yeah, Carey Price.
Horrible.
What happened to him?
Horrible. I mean, you talk about being out of position. He wasn't even covering up the goal. I couldn't believe I was watching an all-everything goalie at one point.
Well, 5 years ago, he was an all-everything goalie. I don't know what happened.
He was a very good goalie about 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, fairly recently, but has he gone off the cliff?
They went deep into the playoffs the first year that I lived here. I think they were playing the Rangers in the, I don't know, I don't say it was the Eastern Conference Finals. Might have been the semis, but.
But meanwhile, David Pastrnak, just everybody, especially if you're a Bruins fan like me, just sit back and enjoy the ride, man. He is on pace for 58 goals. Yeah. What is he, 23?
I'll never forget that the first hockey season we had together, we had Barry Melrose on, and I had to tape the interview early by myself, and you guys weren't involved in it. But I said, hey, Rich, help me out. Give me some questions here to ask. And it was 3 years ago, and you go to because you were so frustrated with Pastrnak. He was 20 years old, and you go, hey, ask him if this is the year that Pastrnak finally breaks through. I'm like, he's 20 years old. Like, how impulsive are you? You made me look like an idiot now 3 years later.
Well, it's like Jason Tatum last year. When's he gonna become the star we heard about? Well, I guess that happened, too.
Shane Burlington, almost everybody in the league is shorter than Chara, so that excuse doesn't fly.
Not almost everybody.
And some of us will never forget the Pacioretty. Yeah, Pacioretty hit.
Pacioretty.
Well, close enough there.
So. Well, here, ring the gong. Every time you make a mistake, Rich, ring the gong.
I don't think we could reach over there. But
are we allowed to hit the gong every time Arnie makes a mistake? Oh, JJ's going to come in. He's coming over here to throw an elbow against it.
Every time Arnie misspeaks, we should hit the gong.
We'd be hitting it a lot. That's for sure. Yeah, we'll be hearing that a lot.
There you go.
I like that.
Sounds like the end of Bohemian Rhapsody.
All right, top forward four in the huddle, 101.3 the game.
Number three.
UVM men's basketball moved to 20-6 overall yesterday with a 24-point win over their rivals in the conference from New Hampshire. So UNH goes down 74-50. Cats have won 10 straight. They're 10-1 in league play. And the most impressive part of all of this, UVM 20 wins for the 12th straight year.
Wow.
Joining Duke, Kansas, Louisville, St. Mary's, Gonzaga as the only six schools in the country to do that. That's impressive. We can gripe all we want about UVM's conference and their schedule and how Lamb's playing, this, that, and the other. 12 straight years of 20 wins or more, that's impressive.
Very impressive. And the win was a good one. It just keeps them moving along. Good balanced scoring. Don't say Anthony Lamb had a bad game. I thought he had a good game.
13 rebounds.
Didn't shoot a lot, but had a lot of rebounds. Did a good job there. I just thought it was a good. Too many turnovers, though.
Yep.
But I thought it was a good win. Just moving on. I think New Hampshire was like fifth, in the conference. So this is just to make sure that UVM gets that number one spot.
Yeah, the Lamb situation was weird last night because he ended up having 6 of the 9 turnovers that UVM committed in that game. There were moments where he just didn't seem engaged out there, and he finished. He only took 6 shots in 24 minutes. Didn't play a ton as they pulled away, but he did have those 13 rebounds, and he got to the free throw line, too, a lot.
The Catamounts are suffering from Patriots syndrome, where they win, they just keep moving, and yet we just don't feel satisfied in how they're playing. I very much believe in style points with this team. I want this team to play a certain way, and I just don't feel that great yet about them. Their record is good. It's certainly impressive. They're playing a lot better over the last 3.5 weeks as they won 10 straight conference games. All of that is true. But when Lamb's getting 7 points and 12 points and 9 points, and I don't know what I'm getting from Everett Duncan, who can go 18 the other day and 3 last night, I just don't have the real consistency with this team that I know that I'm going to get every single night. Can they win? Can they go 15-1 in the league? Sure they can. Can they go 14-2? Sure. Can they get the number one seed? Yes. Can they get to the tournament? Yes. But do I feel confident about them getting to the level that we want and winning not only one game but 2 games like we had hoped for? Not right now. They're 237th in the country in 3-point percentage. They're going to need the following things to happen if they want to go into March the way we expect them to or the way we want them to. Anthony Lamb's going to have to be able to get you 20 at the drop of a hat. Steph Smith's going to have to be able to get you 15 at the drop of the hat. And they're going to have to shoot threes well. And right now, none of those three things are happening on a consistent basis.
You know, when you gave that stat that there's only 5 teams?
5 other teams.
5 other teams that have won 20-plus. For how many seasons now in a row is that?
10.
12.
12.
12. And you're going to tell me that UVM can't compete on a national level with all the big boys out there when they're one of a handful of teams? And, you know, especially when you even see some of the small conferences aren't even getting it done. It goes to show you that we're moving up to a point where we're just as good as some of these, not only the mid-majors, but some of these low teams or medium teams in the big conferences. That's why I always wanted to go to a new conference there.
Look, I'd be fine going to a geographically, you know, like if they were to go to the Atlantic 10 and they could make it work travel-wise, I'd be okay with that. But your goal was never the Atlantic 10. Your goal was the Big East.
Yeah,
and that was
I got
always,
big eyes.
And that was always ridiculous. So if you would have been willing to compromise what? And say the Atlantic 10, I could have maybe met you in the middle there. But when you come out and say Big East or America East, I'm going to choose the America East.
Since I wasn't here, how did the interview go with the guy who wrote the article on the America East? Was there going to be a problem with the conference, did he say, when you talked to him or what?
Now, okay, so our interview from Friday with Jimmy Connolly about hockey.
I wasn't here. Yeah.
I know. The audience has no context as to what you're asking just me here
okay,
one-on-one.
Okay,
so
go ahead.
Last week we had on Jimmy Connolly of USCHO.
Right.
And they were talking about the idea that Hockey East could disband and maybe make a all-encompassing conference.
Right.
He doesn't think that that's going to happen. He thinks Boston College is the only one that could go on its own and join a new conference. He doesn't see Hockey East disbanding and becoming an America East clone.
Okay, too bad. Here's a chance for me to get UVM into a new conference there.
And my concern in the beginning of the season was we weren't hearing, obviously Shungu was hurt, but we weren't hearing a lot very early from Steph Smith, and we weren't hearing anything from Ryan Davis outside of the conference play. And that, boy, has that ever changed. He had another 7-for-9 last night from the field, leading the team with, I think he had 16 points overall. But it's encouraging. You know, you sit there and you think, all I could think early in the season is they were struggling a little bit in the non-conferences. How bad is this? How is this going to be next year without Anthony Lamb? Because Lamb was putting up big points in those games for the most part. Not big, but I mean 20-ish.
He had 30 against Virginia.
He had 30. Yeah, he did. He had some big games. But now you look at it, and you look at the box score, the score sheet of last night's game. Ben Shungu, he'll be back next year. 12 points. Steph Smith, he'll be back next year. He had 8 points. He's averaging about like 12, 13 points a game. Ryan Davis, who's been all world since the conference season started, he had 16. He'll be back next year. You got the kids like Deloney coming along. You got the Duncans coming back. I mean, it just feels like
not ever.
Okay, one of them. You get Robin Duncan coming back. But, I mean, it just feels like the torch is going to be passed again with this team because of the emergence of guys like Ryan Davis and Shungo and Smith.
No, don't be fooled. This team's not. This team next year is not as good as they
no,
are.
No, no, no.
Well, they're not going to be a one-loss team, but I can still see them winning America East with this roster.
Fine, but I think then you're headed towards a 15 seed again, which is fine. Look, I'm okay. I want to get to the tournament, but I'm saying for this year's team to be 237th in the nation in three-point shooting, that worries me because that's what they're going to need to do on a national stage.
Text, Anthony Lamb plays better against good competition.
Yes. Yep. He does step up. But I'm saying that he has not gotten 20 consistently in league play like we thought was going to be a given. If they're going to play Florida State again or whoever from the SEC or the Big 12, he's going to need to get 20. Smith's going to need to get 15. Davis is going to have to get 12. Everett Duncan's going to have to get 10. Shungu's going to have to get 9. And right now we just haven't seen that regularly from this team. And look, I want them to be good. I want them to be good as bad as anybody. I think they are good. But we're talking beginning of the year about Sweet 16. Talking about a 12 seed. Right now, I don't see those things happening.
Bob and Moncton, they always seem to start out slow in each game. If they're playing a big-time program, they can't afford to let that happen.
Yeah,
yeah, you don't want to get down by 10 points to somebody that's going to go ahead and blitz out there. And Milo has to stick this in. UVM would not win 20 games if they played the same level of competition that Duke plays.
I know that Elon matchup is really hard for Duke at the beginning. No, I'm just kidding. Top 4-4, 101.3 the game.
Number two.
The Patriots have re-signed front office personnel now. Nick Caserio, director of player development, he gets a new deal. It's said to be a multi-year contract, so he has been a personnel assistant all the way since back in 2001. He's now the director of player personnel. He's been there since 2008. We don't often get hyped up on front office people if they're not the general manager.
Right.
Or they don't have that title. This is a big deal for the Patriots.
I'm just kind of curious, what exactly is he in charge of? Does he is he a part of the draft, free agent signings? Is he solely making draft choices? I mean, nothing's going to Belichick, and Belichick doesn't make the final decision? Because if he's the one making the call, we can certainly question some of his draft choices and signings, Brady. That's for damn sure.
Oh, I think he's got his hand in everything. He's also on the on-field practice grouping now. You know, he's part of the coaches that are on the field.
Oh, so he's part
doing
of the
stuff at practice.
The secret taping?
good one.
Aaron. I'm just kidding.
I see what you did there. He's the de facto general manager. I mean, everybody always talks about all these moves and that Belichick has got too much on his plate. Well, Caserio's been the guy who's made a lot of those decisions, too. But, I mean, when you lose a guy like a Dante Scarnecchia and maybe a Tom Brady, that I think this is a very important cog in the Patriots' success. He does a lot of things. He oversees the Pats' pro and college scouting departments. He sets up signings. He sets up trades. He has a lot to do with Josh McDaniel's success. He works hand-in-hand with him. And he's the in-house arm for any free agent wide receiver workouts as well. I mean, I just was looking at this laundry list of stuff this guy does, and he's been doing it for 20 years at a very high level.
And it's important they got this done and got this done now because his contract was up in May. We thought maybe he was going to leave to go be a general manager somewhere else. He didn't do that, but they get him locked in now long term. Their director of college scouting, Monty Austin Ford, he's already left, or he's already gone, or his contract's up or whatever. So there's could have an opportunity to be multiple pieces leaving the organization with the front office department. Well, I'm excited about anything that keeps continuity for this team right now. That's what I'm excited about.
I'm just wondering then, how come every time we talk about Brady, it's always Belichick and Kraft? Does he not have a say in this, or is this strictly Kraft and Belichick doing the Brady the Brady stuff and everything else goes to him? Doesn't he have a say in if Tom Brady's going to come back and how much Tom Brady should get also? Or no, he doesn't. That's the one thing he's not going to do. Of course he does.
I mean, it's player personnel decisions. I mean, he's been doing it for 20 years. I think he'd be at that meeting, potentially.
At the meeting, yes, but ultimately I think this is going to be something that goes
that goes above him.
If he votes against keeping Brady, they're not going to say, oh, Nick didn't want to do it, so forget it.
So those are probably the only three voices that have a say in what's going to happen is Robert Kraft and his son, Belichick, and Caserio would be the only voices you would hear from them. Oh, it'd be interesting to see if they're all on the same page or if they're fighting, if there's infighting on what they want to do.
Top 4-4 in the huddle, 101.3 the game.
Number one.
The Houston Astros spoke for the first time today as a group at spring training. They spoke about the electronic and illegal sign-stealing scandal that rocked MLB's landscape this offseason. It did not go well for the Astros. Why don't we take a break here and continue on to the next segment with that? Because we'll tell you what the Astros said and we'll ask the question, could they have done anything today to make you feel better about this situation?
All right, we'll get to that next as we're live at the Autosaver Max. Come on by. We'll be here till 7 or 6. They're open till 7. Come by and see Danny. He's pointing at himself, and he will sell you anything you want in the lot. So come on by. We'll get to the Astros next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 the game.
Sure, these guys love to hear themselves talk. But they also love to hear from you. Call or text at 802-655-6672 to have your opinion be heard on The Huddle 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game live at Autosaver Max. Come on by. Actually, they've got a bunch of trucks priced at $10,000 or less.
Oh.
So if that's what you're looking for, they've got that here also.
That's my neighborhood.
SUVs, trucks, Jeeps, Corvettes, nice cars, beautiful cars. So just come on down, Shelburne Road, right off Harborview and across from O'Reilly. So you know exactly where it is.
And we got a lot of stuff to give away, including those do we still call it exhibition season in baseball?
Yeah, spring training.
Spring training.
Yes.
Yankees Blue Jays tickets for the Montreal Olympic Stadium. We got two Smugglers Notch lift tickets, two tickets to Pico Mountain. Just stop by on your way home on Shelburne Road, South Side today. We'll be here until
Rich,
6 o'clock.
When you go to spring training, how many, like, is it like 3,000 packed when you go to the games? Or?
Oh, no. The stadiums in Arizona are much bigger. Than
oh,
ones
they're
in
bigger
Florida.
Now.
They're all 11,000, 12,000.
Well, they're not 11,000, 12,000 people.
They're
there.
Probably 9,000 or 10,000. They're about
right.
Half full.
Get out of here.
They're about half full. The Cubs fill every game in Mesa. You can't get a Cubs ticket for Sloan Park, but everywhere else.
I thought they were in Hohokam.
So,
they changed it. Yeah, they changed it.
But, no, as far as if you want to go see Brewers Reds.
So you got to pay like, walk. But for Cubs, you got to pay like, what, 50
oh,
bucks or
crazy.
Something?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's supply and demand, just like Fenway.
Well, people love going down
just
there.
Like this show.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Funny.
So anyway.
Well,
that's the first time in 3.5 years nobody said a word for.
I was waiting for you to give away talk about the Astros.
That's because I didn't. I didn't know if you were going to keep going. I didn't think it was really funny. I'm sorry.
Rich wants to hear me sell a car on the live on the radio.
Yeah, that would be a lot more interesting than Tom Brady.
Yeah. Wow.
We got a Tom Brady thing, but a different thing than we usually have with Tom Brady. That's coming up in 15
maybe
minutes.
Maybe we could have some innocent victim come in here right off of Shelburne Road actually wanting to buy a car and sick Arnie on him.
I'm the sales guy, Arnie.
Arnie could actually probably do it because he just annoyed the hell out of you and badger you.
No, absolutely.
Sell ice to an Eskimo.
Until you bring out that $10,000.
They'd say, here's an extra $500 for you to leave me alone.
Just get out of my life.
All right. Now I'm transitioning into the Astros.
Oh, yeah. That was well done.
Thank you. The Astros spoke today at spring training. It didn't go well. They're being universally crushed. The owner, Jim Crane's being crushed. Alex Bregman's being crushed. Jose Altuve's being crushed. They're being universally crushed as an organization. And I crushed them, too. I spent all of hour one bashing them. My question is this. Could the Astros, their players, their personnel staff, their front office, could they have done anything today to actually make you feel different, or was this lose-lose doom from the start?
Well, it's probably going to be lose-lose, but they could have done a bunch of stuff different, though. First of all, they could have been more apologetic. They could have been more heartfelt. They didn't have to be like robots. They could have taken their medicine, answer questions, gone up there, and not just read a prepared statement that, or memorize a prepared statement that the PR firm gave them. I didn't like the answers at all. I think it was really wrong. And you know, my goodness, man, what really bothers me is that the other players, not on the Astros, but in Major League Baseball, they're not saying anything. They've got to come out and really hammer on the cheaters. That's like, could you imagine, Brady, if we were at number one and another station passed us up because they cheated and they took a bunch of ratings books and filled it in themselves? We'd be hammering them until there was no stop. Other players from other teams, some go, who was it that came out today and said, well, you know, it's a little disappointing or something? No, you got to say stuff like, hey, this blankety blankety blank, and you got to be really upset when you're talking about this.
Alex Bregman could not have been more disingenuous if he tried. He's up there, he made a 30-second prepared written speech and
right.
Read from a piece of paper, opening up by saying he was sorry, and it just sounded so ridiculous, the whole thing. And then to have Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, get out there and basically, I saw the LA Times saying it was like an emperor without clothes, as billions couldn't protect him as he got behind the microphone and the reporters were there demanding answers. And he just went all over the place. He starts by saying, our opinion is that this didn't impact the game. And then a minute later, he says, I didn't say it didn't impact the game. I mean, how, they must have just sold a car. There goes the gong.
Bravo.
So, you're right. The Jim Crane soundbite was horrendous. Yeah. Aaron, let's hear the Alex Bregman sound. 30 seconds, prepared statement being read from a sheet of paper in front of him. Let's hear Alex Bregman.
I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
I mean, it was just, it was disingenuous, yep. It was cowardly, and I'm upset about it as a baseball fan. I mean, I'd be upset about it if I was just a fan of sports, but to be a fan of baseball more than any other sport, I'm embarrassed by that.
And imagine being a member of the press. I mean, they're just bloodthirsty at that point, as well they should be, and you're standing there and that's it. Thanks. No questions.
You know, Brady, it's too bad it can't go to another level. You mentioned how a lot of the big names are still on the Astros. It's too bad that somebody wasn't up for free agency at the end of 2017, signed their really big contract in 2018, and was miserable, really bad, because he didn't get to use the cheating. And then that team said, you know what? We're going to cancel your contract because you're a cheater. We bought you on bad goods here. You're not getting any more money, and you're out of here. I would have loved to see that happen, but nobody, obviously that takes a lot of guts.
I wish they had just been more specific and more heartfelt, but mostly specific. They didn't talk about, I guess.
You were never going to get the specifics.
Realistically, you're not going to get a guy, the owner of a baseball team, saying, sorry, we ruined the following careers. Joe Smith, just named off 10 players whose careers were ruined. I mean, Aroldis Chapman certainly couldn't have been happy about that home run to Altuve that won the ALCS. But it just felt so. I mean, the Bregman thing, too. He immediately reads from the prepared statement, I'm sorry, and then immediately starts talking about how great the Houston fans are and just spins it forward and positive in a situation where there was no room for it.
You're close to on the same wavelength as I am, though. For what I would have, for the question, what could the Astros have done to make you feel better today? I did want to hear them apologize to players that were impacted by this negatively. I didn't need the names. You know, Mike Bolsinger is the guy who's suing the Astros because his career was ruined in his eyes by the Astros. I didn't need apologies to that guy, and that guy. But, hey, we apologize to the Boston Red Sox who we beat in the playoffs. We apologize to the New York Yankees who we beat in the playoffs. We apologize to the Dodgers who we beat in the World Series. Yeah. To the A's, Angels, Mariners, and Rangers, the teams that we beat up in our division the entire year. We apologize. We apologize to the entire American League for what we did. To the National League division that we played in interleague play that year, we apologize for what we did. And the thing that I think they really missed the boat on, the thing that irritates me maybe more than any of this, is they didn't mention kids, the future of the game. They didn't say, hey, we want to be role models. We apologize to children out there. Our number one goal is to grow the game of baseball, and we apologize and regret that we sent the wrong message to kids, and we want young baseball fans to know that this is not how you should do business. This is not how the game was meant to be played. And usually I think when you say, oh, think of the children, I hate that kind of narrative. In this case, though, I think it fits. I would have liked to hear
that. Yeah, they don't care about the kids in this. They just care about saving their own backside.
Yeah, but marketing-wise, isn't it? I mean, it seems like such a simple thing to do. It would have taken 20 seconds.
First time Texas said a many multi-million dollar organization should invest a couple of bucks in a marketing communications professional.
Yes.
That was an incredibly poor statement made by the Astros. Or you don't think Altuve and Bregman just went up there improvising? This was carefully mapped out and planned what they were going to say, and it cost them millions of dollars for them to give him advice on how to talk for 60 seconds.
Doesn't it feel, here's the thing though, doesn't it feel Patriots-esque? Like, didn't that feel like something the Patriots would read? And we don't crush the Patriots anymore. I know we're used to it.
We're just
expected at this point. But that felt like Patriots 101. Yeah. And we give the Patriots credit for that. Hey, we're keeping it in-house and we're not allowing outside distractions. It's going to be a unifier within the locker room. We give the Patriots credit for that garbage.
I would never knowingly put something like that in my body, Edelman. I would never knowingly do that. Maybe unknowingly. Maybe I knew, but I didn't know 100%. I didn't give it bloaty answers like that.
And I didn't mean to deflate the footballs. And yeah, I mean,
it just seems like
it sounds like it does. It actually does, as much as it kills me to say that. Yes, they would.
Yeah, but I didn't think
that's the way it
when
is.
When it came
nowadays.
To Antonio Brown and Bill Belichick, all we heard was, you know, we've signed him. Antonio looks great at practice. Well, you know, you'll see when the injury report comes out. Like, that's what we get with the Patriots.
On a scale of 1 to 10, if we're going to say the Patriots cheated, I'd give the Deflategate 1. I'd give the videotaping a 1. And I'd give this, what the Astros did, a 10. I don't know if it could get any worse than that. Other than I don't know having like a bug in the dugout and listening to the conversations or having like a hidden video in the locker room.
I mean, the Patriots didn't
like
beat the Colts that day 100-2, whatever the score was, because the PSIs in the football were slightly different for Tom Brady's hands being able to grip them better. They won because they were a better team. But in this case, if I'm the New York Yankees and Brady pointed out before the show started, I didn't realize it. Houston won all four of those games in the ALCS in Houston, where they were able to cheat.
By the way, if you two guys were Astro fans, and here we are opening day and the Astros took the field, would you stand up and cheer for them? Or would you just not do anything, or would you boo?
It'd probably be an us against the world
mentality. Yeah, I would cheer for them.
Cheer for being a cheater.
If I was a Houston fan, I would be cheering for my beloved Astros, but that luckily will never happen.
You know, I think that this situation, Arnie, is going to cause something unlike I've ever seen before in sports. I think that whenever the Astros go someplace, it's going to be so incredibly hostile, and it's going to be so incredibly hostile for the duration of the game and for the duration of the season. We have seen individual players go back to situations and be treated poorly. We saw, you know, I remember A-Rod the first time we went to Seattle. We remember LeBron going back to Cleveland the first time and how that was a really scary situation, actually, for the Heat. That was one game. And as bad as it was one game and then it was over with, and it didn't really happen the next time LeBron went back. I feel like this is going to be every city the Astros go to, and it's going to be the entire team. Buster yesterday with us called it a perp walk every time they take the field in an opposing city. I think it's going to be nasty.
No. It is going to be every time they take the field. But you said when the game's over. No. This will go on after the game's over. You guys want to make a bet that the first time that these guys go out to a dinner, that somebody is going to say, is going to do something to their meal, or when they go to a Starbucks and they write your name on the cup, someone's not going to write cheater on it or something. You don't think that fans are going to do stuff against these guys, whether they see them and want to make a comment, I don't know if I can go out and eat a meal. I'd be worried about eating a meal at a restaurant in New York or Los Angeles if I were these guys. Yeah. There's a lot of crazy people out there. Who knows what they could do to your stuff?
Can you imagine what it's going to be like the first series in the Bronx? I mean, the signs.
I'm having a taste tester for me, you know?
Cheaters might appear somewhere on a sign in the Bronx for that first series.
Ugh. I'm surprised you haven't asked the question yet, because I put this as a possible question that I figured was right up your alley.
What's that?
If I'm an opposing fan in opposing city, I do think the Astros are a hotter ticket. I want to go see the Astros play just so I can give them a piece of my mind more. If I'm a fan in American League City and I got a chance to see, you know, my Mariners play the Tigers on Monday or the Astros on Tuesday, I'm going to see the Astros on Tuesday because I'm going to give them the business.
Well, only obviously because of their success. I mean, if we found out the Baltimore Orioles did the same thing but it didn't do them any good, we wouldn't say boo about that. They'd say,
cheating Tigers.
We'd be laughing going to Baltimore. You better do a better job at cheating next year because you're not helping yourself out. No, I think going to an Astros game will have a meaningful markup. People are going to want to go to that just to give them a little bit of hell and say what bad people they are. I can't blame them for that. 802-655-6672 if you want to get in, as we're live at Autosaver Max. Come on by, as I tell you, Shelburne Road and Harborview. All kinds of great stuff on the lot. And not only that, a lot of people coming in and taking them for test drives, checking out the Jeeps, trucks, SUVs, all kinds of great deals here. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
The Twitter and Facebook mob is out when it comes to our talks on Tom Brady. We'll set the record straight about that. That's coming up next.
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
He's sometimes wrong.
Former UVM star Bernie Slipicki.
He's sometimes really wrong.
Former UVM hoop star Bernie Slipicki.
But he's always entertaining.
What are you going to do when we talk to him?
I call him Bernie.
It's Arnie Spanier.
I'm dead on 99.9% of the time.
On The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle. 101.3 The Game. Moving along on this Thursday. So much going on. If you want to get in town for your tire, text on. I haven't given out the number in a while. 802-655-6672. Live at Autosaver Max. Come on by. We're here till 6. They're open till 7. And all kinds of great deals. Pre-owned deals. Pre-owned cars. Pre-owned trucks. Pre-owned SUVs. So come on down, make a deal. And see, we Mike from our buddy Mike from McKenzie's down here looking to buy himself a car. So
yep, it is.
Come on down.
It's the truck and SUV mega sale. It only is going for 6 days. We're in day two of it now. So don't waffle on this one for too long. Don't be thinking about it for too long. They brought in tons of truckloads. You like that? Truckloads of high-quality, newer model, pre-owned trucks and SUVs from all of their 15 dealerships across three states. They've got a selection of trucks priced at $10,000 or less. Honda CR-Vs, Nissan Rogues, Ford Escapes, whatever you're looking for, that's a good, reliable vehicle for you to drive in the snow, in the bad weather. They have it for you here, Shelburne Road in South Burlington, Autosaver Max. We're giving away a ton of stuff, too, including ski passes, Yankees and Blue Jays tickets to those games at the end of the spring training season north of the border. You know, it's funny. It's ironic. Rich, you've been saying this for a while, that you are tired of talking about Tom Brady, and you're tired of speculation, and you're tired of every day there's a new theory out there.
I'm not.
The Facebook and Twitter mob is out now against us, too. There's a handful of people that are going on Facebook today and saying, oh, I'm so tired. One guy even said, we're hard to follow on Facebook now because it's all we're talking about is Tom Brady. Another guy said, oh, every day we're just making stuff up. And our buddy Travis in Milton, who's listening to us now, who, you know, he and I like to go back and forth, he's saying how all you guys do is just throw stuff against the wall and no one knows anything about Brady and you're all, quote, experts.
Yeah, but
like, this is I don't know that people seem to realize this. Number one, we're in New England. Number two, we're the home of the Patriots in this area. And number three, when we talk about Brady, our text line goes off more than that, more than any other topic, and our Facebook page explodes more than any other topic. Like, you people, you say you don't like it, but you do.
What I don't understand is, though, first of all, we're not making it up. If Brady says...
We're reacting.
Brady says a talk show host on WEI or the Sports Hub, or a national host says something, and then we react to that. Would you prefer we censor the news? Like if Lou Maloney said, you know, came up with some groundbreaking news, and I said, you know what, I don't believe him. Let's just not even bring that up on the air. Then that would be censoring the news to you. Look, a lot of the stuff, of course, it's speculation, but when somebody else brings it up, it's our job to say, hey, WEI is saying, the Sports Hub is saying, Fox, ESPN is saying, and then we could say, you know what, Brady, that's a bunch of crap. There's no way that's going to happen, or it could happen, but we don't censor the news. That's not our job.
No, but I don't know if it's censorship.
It is censorship.
Well, not really, because they've just got to fill 24 hours a day. Places like 98.5, the Sports Hub, and EEI down in Boston, and all the sports stations that are locally based around this country, they got to fill 24 hours, so half of it's going to end up just throw stuff against the wall and
decide,
see what sticks.
Are you going to decide which ones are true and which ones are not true, and which ones to give to your audience, and which ones not? Not to give to audio.
No, but that's my problem with it, is you're basing it on nothing. You're basing it on the dreaded source, and that's and it's just so ridiculous. I heard something on 98.5 Sports up there on NBC Sports Boston. The guys from 98.5 were on, and they're saying, who's to blame if Brady leaves? There's a double speculative comment. They're already deciding who to blame before something that may or may not happen is already happening.
See, look, Rich, I'm with Arnie on this. We could come after the season and say, okay, there's Monday through Friday. There's five different teams that Brady could end up with in our eyes, and we'll do 10 minutes each day on each of them, and then we could be done with it, right? Then we could be done with it. Day one, Patriots. Day two, Chargers. Day three, Cowboys. Day four, Colts. Well, day five, whoever. But you know what? When Colin talks about it, he has a guest who talks about it. When Christian Fourier, who's a former player, a former teammate of Tom Brady, the guy who just broke put on his Big J journalism hat and just broke the Dante Scarnecchia is retiring news, who clearly has some connections still in the organization to get that, when he says the Patriots are 100% done with Tom Brady, we have an obligation to at least go and say, here's what other people are saying, and then give our opinion on that. I don't consider that much as feeding the fire.
So much is driven by social media, because everybody can have their opinion. It's all out there for everybody on the planet to see, as opposed to the old school guys like me who based everything on fact. And, oh, did you see that catch by Jones last night in left field? I mean, that's what I'd want to talk about.
What you don't understand is, look, first of all, we all thought Mookie was going to get traded. There was a chance he wasn't going to get traded. They could have kept him for another year and then let him walk away. So when Buster Olney says, hey, I think he can go to the Dodgers or the Angels or the Dodgers or the Padres, we're not supposed to bring that up because we don't know if Buster's 100% right. But sometimes he is wrong. So, or Joel Sherman, or what other baseball guy?
Lou Maloney,
or whoever. You know?
I also find it interesting, you know, you talk about, now I lost my train of thought because I'm reading all these other text messages. Go ahead.
But my point is that when I start hearing who's to blame if Brady goes, I just laugh at something like that, because it's two different things that you're both speculating
on. We're not doing morning radio, Rich. We can't do – do people out there really want 3 hours of breakdown on a game that happened 18 hours ago?
No, because I understand. Look, I'm not completely old-fashioned. Everything about sports and just about everything else now is what's next. I get that.
And so, look, we could do 12 minutes on Bruins-Canadians yesterday. Hey, Pastrnak scored 3 goals. Chara got a penalty. Chara got fined. What's wrong with Carey Price? Boom! There's it. There's our recap. So I don't take a whole lot of offense to what people say on Twitter or Facebook about our content matter, but I just love when people say nobody wants to hear this, and yet it's what's driven our social media pages.
Matt says, take it easy, Arnie. You're not Walter Cronkite. You're sports radio. Right. Again, though, even Walter Cronkite, you know, they would speculate too. They would give you two or three different sides.
Our sources tell us.
Isn't it the same thing that every other medium is doing when it comes to politics? Like, I don't do political TV or radio, but, you know, okay, well, if it's not Trump, who's the next Republican president going to be?
Exactly. Oh,
if Bernie doesn't win the Democratic nomination, well, who's the next best choice? Like, that's what they all do.
They'll speculate. Going into New Hampshire, if so-and-so can get this part of the state, then I think she or he could win. But if they don't, then it's going to go to so-and-so.
I agree with Shane and Burlington. Read Shane and Burlington to end on that, because that's where I think this comes from.
I think it's mostly Pats fans that are salty about the Brady conversation. They are all scared that it's over.
That's what I think.
Oh, and then Mike says, how about when Ric Flair dies for the 8th time? Okay, I got one wrong, but would you prefer it? I've not read that. What about all the other people that died that I did get right, though, huh? So, I mean, come on now. It's a perfect example. 2 hours are in the books. The Power Hour coming up next. Brady will tell you what's trending, then we'll get you ready for the Power Hour. You're in the huddle. 1.3 the game.
That type of stuff is wrong.
If you disagree with us, no sweat. Let us know by calling or texting in at 802-655-6672. It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good evening, everyone. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 The Game. It is the Power Hour of the show as we're live at the Auto Saver Max, you know where it is, on Shelburne Road, right off Harborview. Come on by. We're here for another hour. They're open until 7. All kinds of great deals, Brady. So, and we even have some of our listeners already down here trying to get a car.
Yeah, some of our listeners getting out of work themselves, coming down Shelburne Road, coming up Shelburne Road, but all of them are turning in. If you're looking for a truck or an SUV, they've got all your favorite brands. They've got the Chevy Silverados, Ford F-150s, GMC Sierras. They've got Hondas, CRVs, Nissan Rogues. You can come in, watch the show. We're giving away prizes as well, Rich, including ski passes.
Yeah, oh, and as the snow continues to fall, finally. It was a little delayed on that 3 to 6 inches today, but the snow is falling, and that certainly puts people in the mood just in time for the weekend. Come on by here to Auto Saver Max on Shelburne Road. We have 2 tickets to Smuggler's Notch. We've got 2 tickets to Pico down by Killington, and we've got a pair of Yankees Blue Jays tickets for that March 23rd exhibition matchup at the indoor, good thing at that time of year, Olympic Stadium.
Have you decided what you're going to do with your vacation yet? Hawaii, Los Angeles, Tahiti, you know?
I have absolutely no idea. I talked to Miranda today, and she says, well, why don't you just come out and see me, and we'll just drive up and down the California coast. And I was like, well, we did that last year.
You should see if any of our listeners need their car driven from here to Los Angeles or something like that. Get and just drive it there for free, and then you go ahead and get there, and you
and
deal
then
with
turn
that.
Turn around and come back, because it'll take me 3 days to get there and 3 days to get back. You really, I have 7 days.
You really should go to Hawaii. Go out to L.A. and then Hawaii.
You're going to pay for that how?
I have the company Black American Express card. Oh. Just don't worry about that. We could work that out. I know exactly what to tell the boss.
Well, then I guess I know where I'm going. Can I bring Miranda with me? That's the only point of all this isn't so much to see baseball. All that's 1A, but it's to see Miranda. You don't get to see her very. The fact that my 25-year-old daughter is begging me to come out and spend 3 days and 4 days in a car driving through California with me is very gratifying.
Why don't you just meet her somewhere in the middle, affordable?
Oklahoma.
Topeka. Omaha.
Yeah, Nebraska. There
Why
you
couldn't
go.
You meet there? Probably be affordable. There's a Super 8 there.
Yeah, but I don't want to drag her. She's got to drive 1,500 miles. She's got better things
she
to do. I'll go
fly?
To her. Well, plus I'll be able to ski if I go see her.
I feel like taking the same week as you and showing you a good time in L.A., having you come out.
You know what?
Show you the ropes, and you and I go hit Venice and Beverly Hills and all that.
As ridiculous as it sounds with me in L.A., which is about the last place, I'd rather go almost anywhere on this planet. I'd rather be in Beirut, I think, than L.A. But if you're going to be there and I have some sort of chaperone to get out of the chaos and tell me where things are and not get run over and not get stuck in traffic, not get shot, I think I might go. I might actually go with you. I
mean, no, you wouldn't. Yeah. You'd be tired of Arnie in L.A.
in about 2 hours.
Of minutes.
As long as it would take us to go 3 miles in a car.
Yeah, but a chaperone who knows where everything is might be kind of cool, because there's no way I could survive in L.A. without someone showing me the way.
Arnie's fidgety and stressed out for no reason in Burlington. Imagine him in traffic in L.A.
And my brother driving the car, yelling at everybody, cursing.
I'm not getting in a car with your brother.
With traffic and everything like that.
And would your mother-in-law pay for the whole week for me?
My mother-in-law, she doesn't live in LA. She lives in Arizona.
Well, whatever. All right, then I'll go to Arizona. Well, no, then Miranda doesn't get it. So it's tricky. To answer your question, I'm still very much not sure of what I'm doing.
Wow.
I've told you, you can now take a cheap direct flight from Burlington to Denver.
Yes. Right.
Okay? Can you get
It's not cheap. It's somewhat cheap.
It's like $100.
No, the cheapest one to Denver I could find was about $350 round trip.
Take a train. But that takes too long.
Yeah, that sounds like a real party.
That goes 24 hours. You wake up and who knows where you're at next time.
All right. It's Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm in Cleveland now. Who knows? I wonder how long it would take for a train
from
there.
Why don't you just stay? Why don't you just...
I know, and just ski.
Why don't you just do a staycation?
Because then Miranda wouldn't be there.
She can come.
No, she can't. She can't just fly here in the middle of February.
Why? What does she do for work right now?
Nothing.
She's skiing.
So what is she doing?
They got skiing here. Come on.
She's skiing and living in a truck with her boyfriend. Just like.
Were you living in a truck with your boyfriend at that age?
That's a chip off the old block if I ever saw one. At 25, all I was doing was skiing, too.
Does she have any qualities of her mother? Because she appears to be a lot like you. Does she have any qualities of her mother?
I don't know. I don't see enough of her, but she has a sense of humor, which she definitely gets from me.
Then she's not like you, then, obviously. Wow.
That was such a shade thrown at her mother. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that wasn't meant directed at her mother. I have a sense of humor.
You just said she has a sense of humor, which she definitely gets from me, her mother could possibly have
one. She had to have had a sense of humor. She was married to me for 7 years.
Jeez. All right, 802-655-6672 if you want to go ahead and get on in, as we told you, live at Autosaver Max. Brady, let's go ahead and get to the Power Hour. Where do you want to start?
I want to start with this. See, we got the news that the Red Sox are signing Kevin Pillar in the outfield, right? Yeah. That alone might not mean that much to you.
Is he signed?
It appears that it's about to be official.
I think that's a great signing.
Why?
Because I think he has speed and he's a great defensive outfielder.
He used to be a great defensive outfielder.
Is he cheap?
He will be, but we don't know exactly what the number is.
I'm not saying he's going to go out there and hit 25 homers and steal 40 bases and hit 300.
He hit 21 homers last year and stole 14, I think.
Yeah. I mean, okay. What's wrong with that?
Well,
I'm not saying he's going to get 600 at bats, but that sounds like a good utility player to me.
1 year deal worth $4 million. It is official.
I think that's outstanding.
So, But Buster only told us this yesterday. Aaron, let's hear Buster number five on what he said this Pilar deal might represent.
I think the Red Sox are at the point where, let's face it, they're going to have to start preparing for the potential sell-off. So if you go after Kevin Pilar, then you not only think that the other outfielders on that team are all left-handed hitters, there's also a possibility this season that they're going to wind up trading Jackie Bradley. And so you're going to need some depth. You know, once you trade Mookie Betts, once you trade David Price, even though you did a good job unloading his contract, you're in a better position to be aggressive and to make deals. And Kevin Pilar, I think, you know, you bring him in and you play him, and maybe he becomes a center fielder if Jackie's traded away. And if he happens to play well the first 3 months, he could have some trade value.
Do you think the Red Sox are, quote, getting ready for the sell-off? We understand the Mookie trade, and we understand the financials of it and the prospect capital that you needed. Do you think there is and could be more sell-off to come for the Red Sox like Buster does?
Hot take. I'm 100% sure Jackie Bradley will not be on the team after 162 games. Wow. Is that wrong? Are we allowed to do that?
He's going to be a free agent. So
no, but my point is I think he'll get traded.
Okay.
You know, during the season, I think Buster's right on that.
I think there's a lot of takers out there for a 230 hitter.
I think there'll be some value, and we'll see what kind of start he gets off with, especially you're not going to be on the hook for a lot of money. So I see that the next move. That doesn't mean it's a complete sell-off for the Red Sox, but that's a move I could see happening.
You can't. I mean, you got Bogarts. You've got the foundation there with Bogarts and Devers signed. What are they? A bunch of years. You got Chris Sale. Now you're stuck with him. Although if he comes back around and becomes even half of what he was, that'll be good. You got a bunch of key guys signed a long-term contract, and key young guys too, like Bogarts and Devers. Do you really feel like that's the right way to go when you've got that kind of talent, just surround them with a bunch of minor leaguers and has-beens?
If the Red Sox are going to go, I don't believe the Red Sox should go full sell-off, right? They shouldn't trade Bogarts. They shouldn't trade Devers.
No, no.
I don't think they should trade Benintendi right now, especially because his value is more down because he didn't have a great year last year.
Right.
I think they should keep all those guys. Where you would really, I could see them trading Jackie Bradley Jr. He's making $11 million this year. He's a free agent at the end of the year. If you can get a close to ready major league player for him, then I would do that too. You're going to save money. You're going to flip a guy with 1 year of team control for a guy with 6 years of team control. I would do that too. Where it will really be interesting is, well, Erod's only got 2 years left. Do you go try to flip Erod now to get a younger player? He was your best pitcher last year. If he pitches well this year, do you flip him? 2 years, that's good value to a contender. J.D. Martinez is also a free agent at the end of the year because he's got that opt-out. Do you just say, look, we're not going to be good enough next year either to compete. Right. He's going to opt out on his own. We might as well just go and trade him now at the deadline, too.
And by the way, why did you say Benintendi had a down year? How do you know that wasn't the real Benintendi last year? And the year before was the 1 year.
His value is lower now than it was in 2018.
That's a fair statement. Which is the real Benintendi, though? Is it the one we saw last year or the one we saw 2 years ago? Which one are you betting on?
No,
I got to tell you, I don't think it was the one 2 years ago. I thought he overplayed that year and just had a fantastic year. I think we're going to see more of 260 baseball from that guy.
I think Erod is never going to have higher value than he has right now. I am absolutely not convinced that guy is going to be a consistent Cy Young candidate. I just don't see it happening.
So would you trade him too?
I think he's an outlier. Well, you could get a ton for him, couldn't you?
I don't know if you could get a ton, but I think you could certainly get a major league ready piece and a prospect.
The problem is look, and I think this is the way the Red Sox are looking at it. It makes me cringe a little bit as a fan who's so used to them, you know, all in, buying, spending, everything, grabbing all the free agents, being somewhere around the playoff area every year, is the fact that they're just, I think right now they're in a position where they're so far behind the Yankees and probably quite a bit behind Tampa as well, which sounds ridiculous, but that's the reality of it. We saw it last year. That maybe it is time to sell off, but I would do it halfway. I wouldn't sell completely off. I would consider Erod, which, of course, blows up your only good pitchers. So there's nothing, truly, if you do that. But I just think I'd do a halfway kind of sell off at this point and see what comes in.
And by the way, I was going to say, if Sale started the year 10-0, you still wouldn't be able to trade him because nobody's going to touch him with a 10-foot pole with that contract. Doesn't make a difference how he could be 15-0. Nobody's going to touch that guy.
How old is Sale right now? 30?
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that hard?
Some value.
Isn't this hard to do, though? You say, a halfway sell-off. Didn't we see that with the New York Giants, where they 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and isn't that what we crush them for not having a clear directive? I don't want them to go scorched earth. I think they have too many good players to go scorched earth. But I could see if they're out of it at the deadline or out of it on June 30th with a month to go until the deadline, where they say, look, J.D. Martinez, we have no idea what you're going to do next year. So we are going to trade you. I could see them doing
better,
that.
Better one foot, using your analogy, better 1 foot in than no feet in, and they already have 1 foot out of the circle when they got rid of Mookie Betts. So you have one choice, either 1 foot in or no feet in. So I'll go with the 1 foot in.
Yeah, I agree with you, Brady. I think you need to see what they have right now. If they're three games out of the wild card spot, that puts them in a tough spot. But if they're 10 games behind everything, and it's not easy to be 10 games behind a wild card spot the way it's configured now, I can see them doing something like that, because at some point this team has to replenish the pitching staff at a young age.
As for Pilar, I think it's a good move too, okay, but I don't think it's a difference-making move. He's a guy who is 30-plus years old, and I'm glad that he's a right-handed hitter because it gives you balance to your lineup a little bit. He's going to be your fourth outfielder. He can start against lefties. He hits well there. So maybe they have a platoon with him and JBJ. He's no longer the elite defensive player that he was in Toronto, but he's still adequate. But, you know, to me it's just kind of a move. It's not going to help him win the division. All it's going to do is mean that you're not playing some 4A player there as your fourth outfielder. It's better than Cesar Puello, who they signed the other day.
But
that's
nothing they're going to do is going to help him win the division with the lineup that the Yankees have.
So, my point.
It's just not going to happen. So it doesn't make a difference how many people they got. Well, if they even had Cole, they weren't going to win the division with the Yankees have.
At some point, they have to use some of this offense and create some balance between pitching and offense, because right now it's 100% offense, and every game's going to be 11-8.
Also, you know, Dave, you mentioned Mookie Betts. Him and David Price introduced yesterday in Los Angeles for the first time at a press conference. Let's hear what Mookie had to say, Aaron, as he spoke about his time in Boston.
I have a lot of memories in Boston. Obviously, I'd say the most fun is the World Series. But, you know, from the debuts to, just ins and outs of every day being around Boston, I have so many memories. And so, that was a great chapter in my life for sure.
Mookie says, great chapter in his life.
I have so many memories, I can't list one. You know, I can't even. I'm just playing, Brady.
No, I know.
I mean, you would think he'll go, I'll miss, the scene, or I'll miss, the Red Sox fans. He was just talking in generalities. He wasn't really I don't know if he was being heartfelt when he said something like that.
The thing he did say, and he said this for a while, he said, look, when you understand this is a business, and he said he learned this a few years ago, when you learn that it's a business, you're able to separate emotions out. And Mookie Betts seems like a guy who has just kind of become somewhat detached from any specific situation. It just feels like, hey, pay me to play baseball, and I will play here, but I'm not going to be necessarily in love with anything around me. I play where I am employed. And that is all right now. This is a business. You pay me to play just like you get paid to work at your company. And the other stuff is the other stuff, and it doesn't matter as much. He said he's been able to separate out the business from the emotion.
It sure looks strange seeing him in that uniform, though.
He looked good in it, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, of course.
It hurts, but it looked good.
It was very strange. I'll never forget seeing Roger Clemens and Wade Boggs in Yankee pinstripes and just thinking there's something just terribly wrong with that.
It just feels, and he hasn't played any game for the Dodgers. It just feels Mookie Betts is now a bigger star in Los Angeles than he was in Boston. I don't know why. It just, the way the Dodger fans are reacting, the way the Dodger media is reacting, the way all the media is reacting, it just feels right off the bat now Mookie's a bigger star in L.A. than he was in Boston.
You're talking about, he's not massively rich now, although yes, he is, but, he's getting $20-plus million a year.
Money
matters out in L.A. You of all people know that. if they're going to sign him to $420 million, that's just going to make him an even more sought-after guy. And I'm still not sure Mookie is an L.A. kind of guy, but I guess we'll find out.
They want to sign him to a long-term deal. Andrew Friedman has long coveted Mookie Betts, and he's talked about how they brought him in with the intention of using this year to try to sell him on L.A., and Mookie simply said, look, right now, I'm still looking for a house. I'm not even worried about the future. Right now. I'm looking for a place to live right now.
Shouldn't
I'm not worried.
Problem.
Yeah, he should be okay there. But he goes, I'm looking for a place to live right now. I'm not worried about the long term. So he won't commit to Los Angeles either in the same way he wouldn't commit to Boston.
Arnie, you know a place, a couple of houses out there.
He can stay with my brother. I think there's a guest house in my brother's place he can
Malibu,
stay at.
Maybe.
Maybe he could buy your recently deceased aunt's house.
My aunt's house. They're down at the funeral right now. They're asking $3 million. I think it's right up his alley. No problem. He probably wants something a little bit nicer than
that,
though.
You going to get any of your aunt's money?
No, she hated my guts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she wouldn't, believe me, she wouldn't leave me a dollar. If her life depended on it, she wasn't going to leave me any money.
Jeez,
yeah.
Wow.
Maybe too bad.
Maybe if you'd been nicer.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you ever regret being so crappy to your family?
No, it wasn't that I was crappy. She just didn't like me. I can't understand why. Maybe it was my personality. But
it couldn't have been that.
Yeah, it couldn't be that. I don't know why she didn't like me.
It couldn't have possibly been that.
No, not at all.
David Price also spoke on his time in Boston.
Why is he talking?
He sounded a lot happier in Los Angeles, Aaron.
We won a lot of games, and we won three AL East division titles, and we were able to win a World Series in 2018. And for myself, 2018 was very special there at the end, and those are very, very good memories for myself.
I think David Price is going to have a good year in Los Angeles as long as he stays healthy. And that's an if. You know, he's had the elbow issue. He had the cyst on his wrist. He certainly is no guarantee to throw 200 innings ever again in his career. But when you look at the offensive prowess they have around him, the run support that he's going to get, the young athletic players are going to help him
a lot of run support
with the defense that can be behind him as well. And then you look at a division where I do think the Padres are going to be better. So the Padres will be able to hit. Arizona's fairly good.
Is it a pitcher's ballpark?
L.A.?
Yeah. More so than Fenway, for
yeah,
sure.
More so than Fenway. Yeah. But, Colorado, not very good. The Giants, not very good. San Diego is a pitcher's park when you're pitching on the road there, even though I think they'll be better. I just think he's got a lot of things going for him. And the pressure's there. He doesn't have to be David Price of the $217 million contract. There he's got to be David Price of the $48 million that the Dodgers are paying him. And I think that David Price with the team around him can be pretty good.
Well, he's in a good position right now. He there's no expectations. Like you said, he's on like an all-star team. All he has to do is be a 500 pitcher. Dodger fans are going to love him, and he'll be at the end of the road. You said he was going to be a three starter for the Dodgers?
Well, you got to think behind Bueller, Kershaw.
I thought he was going to be further on down the line, but that's a pretty important piece for a team like that.
And Gratterall when he wins his 20th game in July.
Well, don't worry. He'll be a reliever, and he'll probably start in the minors or something, so don't worry about that.
Classic Red Sox content.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Bueller, Kershaw, Stripling is still there in Los Angeles because that trade didn't go through with the Angels. Julio Urias is another young guy. Dustin May. I mean, they got a lot of pieces there that could be starters for this team.
You don't seem to be making a big stink about Jock Peterson and how he's going to go on with his life.
I feel bad for Jock Peterson.
Why? Why?
Because he's not going to be a starter now for the Dodgers. Well, he would have been a starter for the Angels. I feel bad for that guy.
Actually, they had him projected into the starting lineup.
Against righties, I'm sure.
But my point is, I thought you were going to say that you were upset for him because of they wanted to trade him and it didn't go through, and now he's thinking they don't want him, and psychologically, I don't mean about starting or anything like that, because I know that bothers you when you go, well, what about his family, and they're going to think about moving,
I do feel bad. However, the thing about Los Angeles versus the Dodgers versus the Angels is he can live in pretty much the same spot so you're not talking about relocating an entire family.
But now you're thinking that maybe it's over his head that he could be traded sometime during the season. I don't feel bad for him. I just think that's part of the game of baseball.
I do think there's a psychological effect there. I don't love that for him, but I also feel bad there's a guy who now is going to be a platoon player who plays against righties for the Dodgers when he could have played against everybody for the Angels.
Well, he's a damn good player. I don't know what the
guy is. Okay. He's got some serious power.
Yeah, he has a lot of power, yeah.
But he doesn't hit for a high average. No, he doesn't get on base a ton.
Strikes out a lot.
Well,
trust me, he was on my paid-for-money fantasy team, so I'm very aware of Jock Peterson.
Isn't it funny how he always has to mention that he pays for his fantasy team? That's a
Were you describing Jock Peterson or Judge? I didn't quite understand. When you said hits a lot,
Judge led the league in on-base percentage the 1 year he was actually healthy.
But, just his batting average, though. Either you're going to get home runs or do you want the batting average? I don't think you're going to get too much.
Judge will absolutely provide a lot of both when he's healthy. He's just never healthy. I mean,
he missed 60 games last year.
Judge is at least a 280 hitter.
Yeah, well,
Jock Peterson isn't.
I don't think he's too far off it. Plus, he's got a lot of power. So.
I think he's like a 240.
He's not the power of Judge, though. I will say that. Right. Yeah, but not too many people is the power of Judge.
There's no way you can make those two as a comparison.
Well, he's not getting paid as much as Judge.
For total
actually, he's
runs.
Getting paid.
Oh, more now. Because because Judge is still on that baloney deal. Yeah. So, wait, give me another. How many more years?
Like four.
Okay.
Three,
wow. Maybe. That's horrible. Horrible.
So, Aaron, give us this one, too. It was Buster talking about Mookie Betts yesterday. I think it's Mookie number three on where the problem started for the Red Sox with Mookie.
Which one did you say it was?
I think it's Buster only number three.
Okay.
Where they were, with 1 year left for Betts before he becomes a free agent, with David Price, you know, owed $96 million, every person I talked to thought the Red Sox made a good deal, that it was a good baseball trade, Aaron. In terms of...
So that's not it. But the baseball people, maybe it was Buster only number four, but regardless, baseball people said that the Red Sox made a mistake after year three of Mookie Betts' career, so before he went to arbitration. So before you get 3 years of arbitration, usually. So before all of that, the Red Sox should have signed Mookie Betts to a long-term deal. They never should have gone to arbitration. Right. They never should have gone down that road with him. They should have then signed him to a long-term deal. They made that mistake. They can't afford to make that mistake again. I think they should try to lock up Rafael Devers as soon as possible. They should buy out his remaining arbitration years, of which I think he's got four of them. Or his next 4 years. They should buy that out, and then they should give him two more years on top of that, and they should give him an affordable deal. Because if he gets to free agency at 27 years old or whatever he'll be, he's going to want the same thing. 8 years, 10 years, $290 million. Get him now. Get him for a six-year deal, $140 million. Save a little bit of money in the long term. Get him some security in the short term. And in the intermediate, I think that's a good deal for the Red Sox.
Look, Devers had a great year last year. I need one more from him.
Yeah, over my dead body, am I doing that?
He can look so bad at the plate sometimes. Sure. He looks terrible in the field, although he cleared it up a lot in the second half of last year. But I just need more. I need more from Devers. I need one more year of that. And then, look, if he does what he did last year, I would absolutely shoot for the moon.
How many more years do I got him on the four more years, you said? Three, four more years?
You got him for four more years.
Yeah, look me up in 3.5 years from now or 3 years from now, and we'll talk new contract. You're not getting your money.
So you're going to end up with the same thing you had with Mookie.
Right, exactly. If he drives in 110 runs again this year, I'm absolutely signing him long term. But I need one more year of it.
I'm not giving him his money I need to.
And so you won't pay him? This is, again,
I'm going to give him the money. I'm going to give him the money, and the way I'm doing it, I'm probably going to have to give him more money.
Yeah, you're going
to
give him the 10-year deal at 26 years old.
But you want to go ahead and bypass the good years of me paying him cheaply, and I'm not going to do that. So that's not going to happen.
Why don't I – okay, well, fine. I'll take down my offer a little bit. Let's just say – okay, so Mookie, his first year of arbitration, he made $10 million, then he made $20 million, then he made $27 million.
Yeah.
So you paid him $57 million in arbitration. So why don't I buy out this year from Devers those 3 years of arbitration and the first 2 years of him being a free agent? So I get him for 6 years. You paid Mookie $57 million for those 3 years of arbitration. Why don't I give him 6 years – for 90, 6 years for 100. So that way I don't have to give him 10 for 280 like when he's 27, like you're going to want to.
I don't know if it's going to be that much when he gets to free agency, so let's pump the brakes on that. That does seem a better way if you're going to go ahead and buy like the last 2 years, but still, I don't want to go ahead and give him a new contract any quicker than I have to, and I don't know if I'm handing out five-year contracts like it's going out of style. I'm pumping
the
brakes.
He's already under contract for 4 years, so might as well buy out one or two more additional.
I have no problem with five, but 10, I need more.
You know, the 10-year contracts ain't happening under my watch. I'm not doing any of that.
I tend to be with you on that.
Yeah. 802-655-6672. If you want to go ahead and jump on in live at Autosaver Max, we're here till 6. They're open till 7. So come on out. All kinds of great deals out here. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, ESPN says that this Patriots player needs a change of scenery in 2020. Or do we agree with their assessment?
All right. That's next. You're in the huddle. What do we point to in the game?
Between the kids, the wife,
I can't take this,
and the boss,
come on,
your personal time is sacred. Lose yourself all day long in the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. 101.3, The Game.
All right, good evening, everyone. You're in the huddle. 101.3, The Game, moving along on this Thursday. By the way, just a little side note. I'll just make a quick left turn. The NBA All-Star Game this weekend, The fourth quarter will be commercial free. They will wipe out the scoreboard. There'll be no shot clock. They will be playing to 24 to honor Kobe Bryant. Oh, but cool. It will go commercial free for the first time the whole fourth quarter of the NBA All-Star game.
So
they're not playing to 24.
I was going to say, that could take about a minute.
No.
They're adding 24 to the winning team, to the team that's won the first three quarters.
I thought it was they wiped out the score after three quarters and they just play the fourth quarter up to 24. No. Am I wrong on that?
Because the fourth quarter would take about 2 minutes.
Yes, it wouldn't take very long. They would just go ahead and maybe do it by ones or something I thought.
No, the point is that you will play three quarters.
Right.
And if my team's beating your team 100-95,
right.
Oh, the winning team gets 24 points added to their total, and then you will play the first two total of 124. So now I only need 24 points, but you need 29 points because you were five down at the end of three.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I'll have to double. Okay, I was wrong about that then, yeah.
If the winning team is up by 30 at the end of three, well, then the other team is really – the losing team really needs to score 54 points before the other team gets 24.
Okay, so I must have read that right. I know it is commercial free, though, so I will say that. I know that part. I didn't know that. I thought it was just a 0-0 game at that point, and they were just having...
So the first three quarters mean nothing.
No, the first three quarters, and then the game is done. The game pretty much, all of it means nothing anyway.
Well, there's a lot of money going to charity.
Right, I understand
in this
that.
Too, and
right.
I don't know what those charities are going to be. I'm interested. And now, speaking of charity, before we get to the Patriots thing, did you see LeBron gave all of the seniors at his
Academy,
I Promise school full rides to Kent State.
To Kent State. I think was going to be a 126 or something like that. I'm not sure the exact number.
It was going to cost him $8 million.
This is going to be a continuous thing, right, isn't it?
Between Kent State and Akron University.
That is
Ohio.
Just fantastic.
I wonder if any of them are good hockey players.
Yeah. I saw that, and I'm like, good for you, LeBron. That is awesome.
Absolutely.
You know, make sure you always give back to Ohio. It's from your roots, and more important, it's about getting kids a college education and getting them a good college education. Kent State is a good school, so that's just fantastic about LeBron. And that's why I love LeBron so much and stuff like this. I really do. So I'm a big fan of his.
So now you'll have to buy four or five more Kent State.
Yes, I'm definitely going to have to get more Kent State.
Absolutely. That you already have.
I only have like four or five. You know what I've done is when I've washed them and now they've shrunk a little bit.
And you haven't.
They're a little tight. I've got to get a whole new wardrobe of T-shirts now because all my T-shirts are a little tight.
You can always lose weight.
I'd rather get new T-shirts. I'd rather do something like that. All right, Brady, what do you want to get to here?
ESPN.com, Bill Barnwell put out a list of a player on every team that needs a change of scenery heading into 2020. And his choice for the Patriots was wide receiver Philip Dorsett. Now, I don't know necessarily that Dorsett needs a change of scenery. I think the Patriots just need to be ready to move on from Philip Dorsett. Dorsett did not have a great year this year. He had a big opening week game, that Sunday night game against Pittsburgh. But other than that, he only had 29 catches. He didn't even have 400 yards. He did have five touchdowns, so his catches were productive. But for a team that we worried about their ability at wide receiver all year and their inability to separate, they're going to need better than Philip Dorsett
Absolutely.
In 2020.
I totally agree with that. If I was going to say one person that needs a change of scenery, I would have said somebody like Sony Michel, who I thought had a lot of promise, that's just not getting it done here. And obviously, they don't really like to go with the one feature back. I think I would have – not too many teams do like to go with the one unless you're a superstar. I would have thought a change of scenery would have been good for him, but maybe it will work out this year for the Patriots.
That's a good question, though, about Sony Michel. I mean, if there was an offer for him, maybe. But maybe get a second round pick for him since they don't have one because they gave it away for Sanu. I think you need to give him more of a sample size. I'd give one more year to Sony Michel in front of a potentially healthy front line and see what he can do.
If you're telling me that you could trade Sony Michel to move up and get yourself a quarterback, I'm all ears. Otherwise, I don't think that's going to happen. But I am willing to listen, though.
I just want to see Sony Michel be more explosive next year. And I maybe it doesn't happen in this game, but we haven't seen the Georgia Sony Michel yet.
No.
I think the Patriots are going to need to use all their running backs next year, from James White to Sony Michel to Damian Harris needs to get on the field and to Sony Michel. I think Rex Burkhead's going to get cut. As much as I love him, I think he's going to get cut. And – you know what? Maybe he needs to get cut because I can't cut a second round or first round pick in Sony Michel. I can't cut Harris who and make him a waste of a pick. I can't cut James White because he's too valuable. I don't know that I need four running backs that are active and try to get them all. I love multi-running backs. I don't know that he needs four. So I think Burkhead ultimately gets cut. Back to Dorsett.
Yeah.
He's a free agent. So they don't mean, you know, they say he needs to change his scene.
Right, it's not like
he's going to need to be cut. It just,
right.
They just don't bring him back. But, I mean, I need this team next year to have Edelman, to have N'Keal Harry and have him be better, and have Sanu and have him be better. And that gives me three receivers that have the opportunity to be good.
Not a bad three. If N'Keal Harry works out, not a bad three.
Who knows?
If I'm the Patriots, man, I need to make a trade. And I need to make a trade soon because we want Brady to sign early. But Brady can play the game of, as we've talked about, well, I'm going to wait and see what you do. And we don't know if receivers are going to be waiting for Brady. So go on, make the trade. Make a trade early in this offseason and then show Brady that you're in it here.
By the way,
get him a weapon in the trade market and do it soon.
Trade's a good strategy because obviously the person who's being traded to New England would have no say and it won't matter whether Tom Brady's coming back.
He doesn't
have any control over
everybody
it.
Says it's about money for Tom Brady. Are you going to tell me? Let's say Tom Brady wants $35 million a year. Just let's throw out a number. Are you going to tell me that if I was the Patriots and I came to him and said, Tom, we want you back, and we would want to give you the $35 million, but if you take $30 million, we could bring in A.J. Green, right? He's a free agent, right?
Yeah.
We could bring in A.J. Green, I don't know. Or if you take $28 million to $30 million, we could bring in A.J. Green. You're going to tell me Tom Brady's going to say, not, can't do it. Can't take $5 million less for A.J. Green. Can't do it this year. Sorry, we just can't bring him in. You're going to really tell me that's going to be his answer? Or will he say, you know what? I'll do that. If you're going to pay me less, but now you're going to show me you're bringing me in a big-time wide receiver, I don't see why he would turn something like that down.
No, it's not a crazy idea.
It's not crazy at all.
I mean, if you're talking about 30 and switching it to 25, then we have another situation. But 35 to 30 just might work. He might actually do that.
The question is, though, is that Tommy Curran and other Patriots insiders have said he's done that before. He has done this on good faith where he has taken less and they have promised him things that they haven't given him.
Exactly, though. But this time you have to come through. You have to say, here, A.J. Green's in the other room. Just sign here for $30 million. He'll come in and sign his contract. You can't lie to the guy. You just can't do it. If you're going to lie to the guy, sure, he's going to say no. But if he believes you and says, hey, yeah, let me call A.J. Green, and A.J.'s like, yeah, you sign, and they have that extra $5 million or whatever it is, I'm all in. Well, this is a good way to go for your last 2 years, Brady. I wouldn't see why that's a problem.
The Patriots, you know, we've heard speculation about Odell Beckham. We've heard speculation about signing this guy, that guy, the other guy. I think a trade is our best way to go. Now, my question for this, and maybe it's something we more explore tomorrow, would you weaken the defense? Would you trade away from the defense to help the offense?
Yes.
Well, it's the same thing I was saying about the Red Sox. You've got to trade the hitting to get some pitching because the balance is completely off kilter right now. I would do that. Yes, would you, Ernie?
Not so sure I'm going to be paying which one, McCourty.
You need to bring back McCourty. You're already going to weaken the defense. You're losing Kyle Van Noy.
You just asked me to weaken the defense.
You're going to lose Kyle Van Noy. You're going to lose Jamie Collins, I think. So, I mean, I think you're already weakening the defense.
Well, I didn't get to those guys. If we just start taking guys off and I'm saving money, yes, you are going to lose those guys also. But I I'm always a firm believer. Give me a great offense. Offense wins, like the Kansas City Chiefs. So. Yeah. That's the way I go. 802-655-6672 live at Autosaver Max. Come on by. We're still here till 6. They're open till 7. And like we told you, some awesome deals out here. So come check out all the inventory they got. All right, we got the 4-minute football fix. Last story standing. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Get the latest NFL headlines.
We got to be better on third downs. We got to stay on the field.
A huge emphasis for us to make sure rush, pressure, the whole thing, that we could affect the quarterback.
Got our hands on some balls, so that was that was good too.
And it's just making sure fundamentally we're sound in all aspects of the game.
This is your home for the gridiron.
101.3 The Game.
Thank you.
All right, good evening, everyone. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, live at the Auto Saver Max. By the way, thanks to everybody here at the Auto Saver Max. Yeah. It was, they've just been real nice. The general managers, JJ, Danny, one of the sales guys, wants you to buy a car from him. All kinds of great deals. Rich, you were sitting in the Corvette there.
I just had a little bit of a fantasy there for a second.
I wanted you to scratch it. And they say, well, now you own it. You scratch it, you own it. So I really wanted that to happen, you know?
That is
I gotta
an
tell
amazing
you,
car.
You look good in a Corvette.
Oh, you sound like one of these guys.
You look good, wow. I gotta tell you. It makes you look 20 years younger.
Yeah,
I want you to know that.
It's that California guy in me, right, Arnie?
I can see you go down the Pacific Coast Highway right now, the wind in your hair. Oh, yeah.
Or the reality, I'd get on Shelburne Road with the roof down and, Rich, and be in big trouble.
And guess what? You can afford it. It's affordable.
Yeah, it
you.
Actually was.
We'll talk to numbers later on. Yeah. Yes, there you go. I got to buy the car. I want some commission
just
on
make
this.
The payments on it.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Yeah. Don't forget to pay.
Don't forget the payments on this one. Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine me Ubering around in that thing? Pick up somebody in that thing?
You'd only be able to, you wouldn't get as much money Ubering because you can't take more than one pass.
I would hire you as my personal Uber in that one. I never drive you around.
That's a good point. It is a two-seater.
Do you ever get scared as an Uber driver of the people that you pick up?
There's been a couple out of the 900 and whatever so far that I've kind of just been have kept my eye on in the back seat.
Yeah.
Not really, but
do you want them? Where do you want them sitting? Do you want people sitting right behind you, up next to you, or do you want them back diagonal?
Back diagonal, passenger seat, back seat.
That way you can see their hands at all times.
Yes, I don't think that way.
I hope this happens to you someday. Not that I don't like you, but
you want to get offed or something?
No. I saw a video just yesterday of an Uber driver. And the two guys in the back seat wouldn't leave his car because he wouldn't turn on the music they wanted. So he never left. They called the cops. It took the cops like over an hour to come, and they refused to leave the car.
And you want that to happen.
And it was on video, and I was laughing. I can see this happening to Rich so easily.
I have never once in 900-plus rides ever had one person ever ask me to do anything with music.
I've
not
asked
one.
Really?
No.
Oh, when I'm in the Uber, I ask them to turn on 101.3 The Game.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I hope that they hear my voice and say, oh, this guy's famous.
Yes, exactly. Oh, jeez. All right, let's get to the 4-minute football fix, Brady.
Actually, my favorite thing in Uber real quick is that when they start talking about sports and I start picking their brain and then I tell them without to who I am, oh, you should listen to 101.3 The Game. Oh, you're a Patriots fan? Oh, the games are on every week, 101.3 The Game. Oh, really?
It is fun freaking out the listener. Well, they are listeners because they'll be like, you can just tell. They're looking at me like, why do I know this guy?
I don't care if they know who I am. I just like giving them grief about saying that they should listen to the station.
Let's give a big thumbs up to Ben, who was playing basketball yesterday. He's a gym teacher. Big fan of ours. Told me personally, listens to us every morning. So, and then I think he caught himself. He goes, well, I mean, I listen all day. I listen in the morning and afternoon.
Did you cover him? He went off to 27 last night.
So I thought that was kind of funny. All right, Brady, let's get to the
4-minute football fix. ESPN also had an article in addition to which players need a change of scenery. How about which rookies are going to take the biggest jump inside in the 2020 season? There was one vote for Daniel Jones. There was one vote for N'Keal Harry.
Huh.
Both of those players, if they take jumps, in Daniel Jones's case, if he takes a jump, he's going to be playing at Pro Bowl level next year for the Giants because he's certainly got that cal. I don't know why you hate this guy so much.
I know it. I don't get it. He had what did he have, like 25 touchdowns in three quarters of a year last year?
Yes, because he went to Duke. Because he went to Duke, you don't like him.
Well, I mean, the fumbles are obviously a concern, but do you feel like did this guy have a reputation as a fumbler when he came out of college?
He can make some turnover-worthy plays, but he certainly has a big arm. He's willing to take chances. Now the question is, does he go through the rest of his career and play like Jameis Winston with a carelessness, or does he go and clean it up? And I certainly would think in year two, with a disciplined head coach in Joe Judge and a disciplined offensive coordinator in Jason Garrett, that he's going to have the opportunity to clean up his game.
The person who will make the biggest jump, and we told you already, is Taysom Hill, who didn't really go through.
A rookie.
No, okay. Well, he's not a rookie. I thought you just meant overall.
I
just thought from 1 year to the next, so because I would have liked something like that. Rookie-wise, though, then I would have had to say somebody like N'Keal Harry or to that effect because he had such a bad year and we were expecting so much from him. You know what I mean?
Get off Taysom Hill.
Why? I love the guy. You're the
Why?
One.
Clearly.
Why?
Clearly you love him.
Why do you think?
Because you say it every
day. Why do you think he's even on the Saints? if he wasn't such a great athlete? And he was. And why do you think they have him passing the ball if he wasn't? He couldn't throw the ball
15 times in his career.
And he's thrown downfield a lot. And he was a quarterback in college. You guys got to
understand. He's 30 years old.
29, and he is mature. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Mature.
I don't understand why you have a Tom Brady's 41. I don't know. You don't make a big stink about that.
His college quarterbacking days are years behind him. No, I'm out on Taysom Hill.
I hope the Patriots sign him so we have to talk all year about him.
I hope they don't, because if they do, I'll move to somewhere else and cover a different team.
All right, let's get to last story standing. We got a couple minutes, so let's get to that.
Wacky or insightful? We've saved the best for last. It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
No music? No music for this? All right, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Would you like me to sing in the background?
No. All right, well, in honor of my aunt dying.
There's music right now.
Yeah, in honor of my aunt dying and my cousin selling her house, Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, has purchased a home in Los Angeles for $165 million.
So
it was owned by David Geffen. Remember him from
Geffen Records.
Who had owned it beforehand. What an estate this is. I got to tell you.
It better be.
Well, it comes with it's a 9-acre lot.
How much? $160 million?
$130-something million. A 13,000-square-foot style mansion. It has two guest houses, a nursery, three hot houses, a tennis court, swimming pool, I don't know, 9-hole golf course. Here's the best part. I've never heard this in a private home ever. It's got a motor court. You're like, so what's big about that? It's got its own service garage and gas pumps. you don't have to go to the gas station. You got your own service and gas station there.
Ultimate laziness.
So you don't have to pay for your own gas, but you do have to pay to get the gas into the
system. Exactly. I'd let my friends come over and charge them for gas or something like that. Rich, would you like to buy some gas for me?
You need to, because you're paying for the gas.
Oh,
that is so L.A.
Is that incredible? Your own gas station at your house. I mean, would you not fill it up every time? How great is that? You don't have to ever go to, you know, that's why you never see Jeff Bezos at like the Shell station or anything like that. How great is
that? Funny, I was thinking, I thought I saw him there the other day here on Shelburne Road.
Let's thank everybody here, Brady, because it was just a great time over here.
Autosaver Max was awesome. Thank you to JJ, Sandra, the whole crew, our buddy Danny. So Autosaver Group's truck and SUV mega sale, 6 days only. We're on day two, so tomorrow's going to be day three, so you're going to want to get in ASAP. If you're looking for that truck, you're looking for that SUV, largest selection pre-owned trucks, SUVs in Vermont and upstate New York. 15 dealerships have brought their vehicles here. 15 different Autosaver Group dealerships. So come on down. Very, very affordable. All right. Top dollar trade.
Thanks to intern Aaron. Everybody be safe out there. See ya.